Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
To be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
Hey, this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you?
God! Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the brand new 2011 edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Their home site is wildtalkradio.com. Our official site is Wild Talk is onlineworldofwrestling.com. We're also sponsored by Click Wrestle, the official on-demand site of our show. Our number tonight, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you are an internet person and you have the ability to Skype and you are a user, please Skype Sir Rockin. That is two words, not one. If you do one word, you may get somebody in Kuala Lumpur wanting to talk to you. During this evening, we will address all the fun that happened at UFC 125 in Las Vegas, because Spug and Mace are resident MMA gurus who also have a podcast called Tap Outs to Knockouts. We watched it all. We'll get into that. We will have a preview of TNA Genesis when Phil Strom of the Poughkeepsie Journal's Under the Ring blog joins us. He will also talk all the fun sayings that happened in World Wrestling Entertainment on Monday Night Raw last night, on Friday Night SmackDown, as they inch closer to the Royal Rumble. During the 9:30-40-ish area, we're doing something new from now till we get to WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta, which is Sunday, April 3rd. Mark your calendar. We've launched a new segment on this show that we hope will be as entertaining to you as it is to us, because we're going to be doing an event called WrestleMania Memories. During this program, we will, from now till April 3rd, we will recap in some form or fashion the previous 26 mega events that have taken place, from WrestleMania 1 in Madison Square Garden all the way till WrestleMania 26 that happened in Houston. During the second portion of the first hour, we are going to be honored with a member of the 1993 class of WWE's Hall of Fame, man who does not do interviews, and I was stunned when he said yes. George the Animal Steel will be joining us later on in the program. Mace is with us right now from Wrestle Talk Radio and OTL and other endeavors. Spug will be joining us. However, we are going to start our program off with two very interesting gentlemen. One is the owner of Top of Line Talent Bookings, which can be found through Facebook.com, Top of the Line Talent Bookings. He also is a manager in the Northeast. His name is Vinny the Guido, and he is here with us because if you live in Sanford, Florida, next Saturday night, you're going to be attending Vintage Wrestling's Wrestle Brawl 2, And also, as we'll find out from our guest, if you're living in Pennsylvania the night before, you will get to see a man who has competed in not one, not two, not three, not four, but seven WrestleManias. He was a part of the original, and his last WrestleMania appearance was WrestleMania 9 in Las Vegas, where he teamed with the immortal Hulk Hogan, unfortunately losing to Money Incorporated. He is possibly coming to a Hall of Fame. His tag team partner, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and the Dream Team is a Hall of Famer. We hope he is soon, too. Brutus the Barber Beefcake is joining us. Good evening, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, sir.
How you doing, man? I didn't realize we lost that WrestleMania match. It was my understanding that we won the belts, but since we left the territory, we were stripped of the titles.
Oh, okay. I only went by what it said on the World Wrestling Entertainment website, and according to World Wrestling Entertainment's website, you guys, it was the DQ and that kind of thing. I want to take the fans back in time. Talk about for us, please, your initial dealings with WWF at the time, because you came in around the same time as a lot of top talent like Paul Orndorff, like Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat, from other promotions when Vince McMahon Jr. began his nationwide expansion. Talk about your negotiations and initial meetings with Vince McMahon Jr.
Brother, we don't have that much time. I probably came in before most of those guys you mentioned. Hulk came in 83. I came in on his heels before Randy Savage, before Bret Hart, before any of those guys. I was kind of brought in due to I filled in for John Studd over in Austria in a championship match against Otto Wanz, and because I hadn't been working at the time, I was off in between territories, and that I did such a good job over there that that they decided they were going to bring me in and do something with me at WWF, and we sat down with Vince. I guess his Vince McMahon's wife had come up with this name, Baron Beefcake. And we kicked that around, transformed it, and wound up coming up with Brutus Beefcake. And then Hulk and I adjourned to Florida and hooked up with a guy who used to make his clothes when he was playing rock and roll music back in the 70s. And this guy, we came, sat down and came up with the costumes that spandex and the armbands and the bow tie, which rhinestones on it and all that, and started a whole new era in professional wrestling as far as costuming and gimmicks go. I was definitely a pioneer, that the one that stepped out and took over and was the leader of the pack. Everybody else copied me, let's face it.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
No,
you actually.
I'm sorry. Go on, Mr. Allen.
Hey, take us through. We've heard different stories, and I interviewed Roddy Piper a few years ago. I heard one version of this story, and I like to always hear it from different folks that were involved in the initial WrestleMania. If there was such a situation, take us through a meeting or a time that you were spoken to by either Mr. McMahon or someone in the executives about this idea, because from everyone we talked to over the years going back to 1985, this was probably the biggest gamble in wrestling history, that if this event had not gone off, there wouldn't be a World Wrestling Federation or WWE at the time. If you could outline some of that, if you have any memories of that.
Well, I mean, that's basically, you've already summed it up. That's basically it in a nutshell. Hulk Hogan and I go back almost 40 years, let's face it. So, I mean, I definitely was privy to some inside information that most other people didn't ever know about or we're definitely not informed about. So basically what you said is true. Vince put everything out there on the line and took a real big gamble with the WrestleMania 1, got, you know, Mr. T involved, started, you know, got as many people as possible involved, as much, you know, try to get as much attention, draw as much attention to this whole thing as they possibly could, and hit a home run, you know, and it turned out, you know, tremendous, and then they were able to follow up thanks to the talent, you know, and the guys that he was able to utilize, and Piper and Hogan and the John Studs and the Andre the Giants and the Greg the Hammers and the Tito Santanas and the Don Morocco's and all these guys, they were able to had characters and they were able to talk on TV. They weren't handed scripts or anything like that and told what to say. Guys that went out and had a job to do and did it were professionals. And let's just face it, it showed, okay? Vince McMahon was hugely successful, but, you know, he gave us the opportunity. But, you know, he opened the doors, but we had to walk through them. You know, we talked the talk, we walked the walk, and we made it happen.
Now, you've been a part of special events throughout your entire career and moments that stand out in wrestling history, but I'd like to go back to one, a barbershop segment involving a Mr. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Standing there as an observer, watching what took place, and the storyline unfold in front of everybody, and the inevitable super kick through the window, watching Shawn Michaels, could you tell then that he would go on to the greatness that he was destined to have, or was that just something at that time that was a good idea as far as booking was concerned?
Well, I mean, nobody knew at that time really how far he would go. The kid definitely, Shawn had a lot of talent, and let's face it, you know, he got a hell of a break. No question about it. He got one hell of a push, but he also, you know, he had the talent to work with it. I mean, it really didn't work out so good for Marty Jannetty. Yeah, if you think about it, you know, oh yeah, okay, the HBK, the Heartbreak Kid, went on and, you know, and on and on and on and on, and his poor partner Marty kind of really didn't work out so well for him. You know, he's still struggling out there in the world, trying to make his way. That's the part of it that I hate to see, because he was Marty is a nice guy, a good guy, a good wrestler, and it's just a shame that it had to go when they split those two up. It had to be one guy to huge success and one guy in the shitter.
Now, Brutus, just quickly, as Alan said in your introducing you tonight, you're a man that has been on 7 WrestleManias. I'm just wondering, from a wrestler standpoint, did the WrestleManias sort of have any sort of quote-unquote magic to them when you got out there in front of those crowds, or was it just another night out there for you?
Well, no, WrestleManias always were special because they were huge worldwide broadcast events. You know, and several of them were, you know, 70,000, in excess of 70. You know, the Silver Dome was 93,000 paid attendance, over 100,000 people actually in the building when you're talking about the ushers, the security, the amount of people that it takes to take care of the crowd, and the cops and all the workers in the building, 100,000 people. It's never, you know, they haven't done anything like that since. The sound of the crowd made when Hulk slammed Andre the Giant, yeah, but it'll never ever happen again. You'll never, that's gone forever. that kind of a crowd, that kind of a reaction, that kind of stuff, you know, that's once in a lifetime stuff to be there and be part of that. There's no question about it. You know, there'd be, you know, the WrestleMania's in Toronto, and then with 72,000, there's, you know, there was a lot of great memories from WrestleMania. They were always special. They were, you know, everybody really busted their asses to make them, you know, extra special.
And since we're doing WrestleMania memories here on OWW Radio, can you give us your favorite WrestleMania moment that you were a part of, or even just witnessing as a wrestler?
Well, there's no doubt that WrestleMania 3 in the Silverdome, you know, witnessing Hulk, you know, Andre passing the torch to Hulk Hogan, and the sound of, you know, of 100,000 people going bananas, you know, it was insane. It was crazy.
You mentioned WrestleMania 3 because that was pretty much a changing point in the character of Brutus Beefcake, because you went in as the partner of the Dream Team with Greg the Hammer Valentine, and you had a match with Jacques and Ramon Rougeau, but later on you came out for what many people felt was one of the three semi-mains besides Savage Steamboat, and that was Roddy Piper's original retirement match with adorable Adrian Adonis losing his hair. Were you nervous when creative came to you and said, okay, we're going to break you and Greg up, it's time for you to shine, and you're going to be Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
Well, they didn't really say that, and anything like that. I was going to be wrestling, I was going to be doing in a program with Adrian Adonis. This whole barber thing was handed to me after the fact. I just had spent, you know, 2 or 3 years developing Brutus Beefcake into one of the hottest heel in the territory. You know, they put Greg and I together. I think we were a victim of our own success because we were very, very good together and as the champions and as far as drawing money and putting asses in seats. And around this country and Canada, selling out these, you know, 25,000, 30,000 seat arenas, the Maple Leaf Gardens, the Madison Square Garden, the Philadelphia Spectrum, the Meadowlands, night after night after night, San Francisco, L.A., Denver, Chicago, Detroit. I mean, on and on and on. And as a tag team, we were able to do things like that. And it didn't make much sense to me. When it's like, okay, now you got Hulk Hogan hot, let's call him Joe Hogan. it didn't make any sense to me, but I had almost one step out the door. I was ready to walk. I was pissed. You know, you're going to change my gimmick now when I'm, after I've spent all this time really just now getting it down and perfecting it and getting it red hot, you're going to change it? Didn't make any sense to me, brother. But thank God for the Hulkster and his vision. And, you know, he was able to, because he had the power also, you know, when we sat down and said, okay, now you're going to be the barber. Well, what is that? A hair match is something you have once in a year, once, and you know, and you have one time, and the loser gets his haircut, and usually the loser, in the old time territories, the loser left the territory. So, haircuts and everything was something that never was not anything that was done on a regular basis. So I didn't really have a clue where they plan on going with it. To me, it was a rib. It was a Pat Patterson rib. So Hulk pulled me aside, and said, okay, well, I said, where are we going to go with this? What are we going to do? How are you going to be the barber? He said, well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go in the ring, and you're going to cut somebody's hair every time, and you're going to win, and you're going to cut their hair every single match. And I said, okay, that's different. So that's what we did. And then it caught on. It's something that had never even been attempted in the business before. And you plugged in Brutus Beefcake into the personality with this gigantic pair of hedge clippers running around chopping people's hair off, spray painting them, doing shaving their heads and everything like a wild man, and turned me loose and wound up getting over way better than they ever even dreamed about.
Who came up with the actual hedge clipper idea? Was it you? Was it Hulk Hogan? Was it someone in creative? Because that's something that people will remember you from when they're driving home from the arena going, wow, that British Beefcake guy, those clippers, I didn't want to mess with him.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm pretty sure it was me. You know, mostly my idea to came up with the big hedge clippers. I mean, they came up with the idea of having them chromed and striping them and, you know, added to it. But the scissors I had, you know, come out with the little scissors thing, you know, for a while. but then I needed something a little more, you know, a little bigger, a little for the crowd's sake. And, you know, when you're in these 30,000-seat arenas, if people can't see a pair of scissors in your hand, but they could see that those big hedge clippers out there. And it was something that was, you know, intimidating. So that was one of my first innovations of many.
Now, you spoke of Patterson Ribs just a second ago, and we ask everybody this, and it's your choice if you wish to answer or not. But what, in your illustrious career in the history of professional wrestling, what is the best rib that you have pulled, seen pulled, or had pulled on you?
Now keep it PG. Try to keep it PG. We've had a couple that have been close to R, so we're going to try to keep it PG.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to laugh at that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. I saw the Bulldogs used to be really big into the rib thing. You know, they were putting locks on guys' bags. They used to use my scissors a lot. I've seen them cut guys. It was 20 below zero out. They cut some guys' pants legs out of their pants.
Ooh.
They used to super glue, you know, guys' bags shut. Lock them in lockers and then put locks on them, cut all the shoelaces out of their shoes with my scissors. There's just too many to remember now.
Brutus, you gotta tell them about the road trip you had with Andre the Giant on the plane. That was the best one I heard yet.
Well, that was pretty interesting. Coming back from Japan, on a flight from Tokyo. Back in those days, you're looking at about a 17-hour flight or something. It was a very long flight. And Andre, being, you know, the 7'4" and 650 pounds or whatever he was at the time, couldn't fit into a bathroom on one of those planes. You know, so usually, you know, Andre would always make sure he took care of his business, you know, before he left. You know, and but on one occasion he had to take a dump, and there's no way he's going to get in the bathroom. So the stewardess has had to take a garbage bag and string it across the waitress station, or you know, the station in the back of the plane where they did the, you know, where they had the counters on both sides and stuff, and they strung out a big garbage bag and they had Andre shit in the garbage bag. And the funniest thing was watching the people in the back of the plane, because they didn't really know what was going on. But when the smell started coming out of that back, and people started gagging and puking all over the place. there was a bunch of the guys on the plane, and the boys all knew what was going on, and they, you know, everybody was, they were almost puking because they were laughing so hard watching the guys on the planes and, you know, gagging and just we were crying, laughing. It was the funniest thing.
I would have been laughing too.
Oh my God. And just the people's reaction, the smell was horrific. It was just unbelievable.
And that's before, my favorite road story.
Before we let you go, WrestlingVintage.com is where they can find out about Wrestle Brawl 2 next Saturday night in Sanford, where you and Greg Namer Valentine will take on Double Deuce and Social Club. They've been going on YouTube, visiting places, trying to find you guys. At one point, they showed up at a retirement community looking for you and Greg the Hammer Valentine. I wouldn't want to mess with you guys, being that you are a veteran tag team, former world tag team champions. What do you respond when you hear something like that? They're going to barbershops looking for you and going to retirement communities.
Well, they won't be. I won't be hard to find in Stamford, brother. My 35 years in the business, Greg's 40 years in the business. Yeah, we were wrestling probably before these punks were born. I'm sure. The funny thing is I'm in the best shape of my life right now. I train every day. I know Greg's working out still. And, you know, we're going to beat on these guys like a tom-tom. We're going to show them a whole new definition of pain. You know, as far as the tag team goes, Greg and I were one of the best ever. And the fact is we're still a great tag team. Greg's one of the toughest individuals that's ever walked into the ring. And it's his second generation. His father was one of the toughest son of a guns ever. Johnny Valentine, and you know we're gonna have a lot of fun. That's all I can tell you. We don't talk smack. We just go out in the ring, and when Greg puts a figure four on him and snaps her leg like a twig, and I put him to sleep and shave their heads bald, then you know the talking's all over, and we'll just be walking.
And I know from experience, Greg Valentine's figure four's leg locks don't tickle because I felt it, and he really slots them on pretty good. So,
yeah, brother, I just want to get everybody to let everybody know that I'm going to be on January 7th, going to be in Springfield, Pennsylvania, at the Knights of Columbus. They're hosting an event there, Vincent Vito Productions, and it's going to be me, Greg the Hammer, Nikolai Volkoff and Jim Duggan. And we're going to be there that night from 8 to 1 a.m.
What part of Pennsylvania is it again?
Springfield, Pennsylvania.
Springfield, Pennsylvania.
Yep, and it's going to be a great night. We're coming in to sign autographs. We're going to be doing some comedy skits. We're going to be doing some karaoke. We're going to be having one heck of a night of fun and with, you know, the people of Pennsylvania. I'm hoping a lot of people come out. There's tickets available at the door. Or they can contact the Knights of Columbus and get tickets. It's going to be a great night.
You heard it there. Get out and definitely visit with them. Before we let both gentlemen go ahead and give information real quick on how you can, if there's a promoter listening, Vinny, how can they get in touch with you if they want to book Brutus Beefcake or other folks that are on your roster?
If anybody wants to book Brutus the Barber Beefcake or Doink the Clown, the original Doink the Clown, or anybody, if you want to check out to see who's available, you can go to www.facebook.com/top-of-the-line-talent-bookings. Or you could also email us at topofthelinetalentbookings@live.com. And we are up to the 5,000 max on the Facebook page. However, you could still check out the page. It's open to the public. And if you want to send us an email on who you'd like to book, come down and check it out. Brutus Beefcake is definitely on there, and he is a legend. And his bookings are filling, you know, are going to be filling up quickly, especially after this interview, because you guys got a lot of people that listen to your radio show. So, you know, act now, book him now, and lock in the date, and Mr. Beefcake will be there to cut some hair. Isn't that right, Mr. Beefcake?
That's right, brother. We're always cutting hair. Always.
All right. I mean, thank you so much.
My favorite WrestleMania moment, you know, just not for nothing, but one of my favorite WrestleMania moments, I would have to say, you know, there's a lot of great WrestleMania moments. It's really hard to say. There were so many WrestleManias. I mean, the best WrestleManias was before the Attitude Era. I'm sorry. I think, in my personal opinion, I think the Attitude Era, yes, it was entertaining, but it wasn't pro wrestling. I mean, when you think of pro wrestling, you think of real pro wrestling to me is the territories, the 80s and the early 90s before the Attitude Era came around. After the Attitude Era came around, everything became promos, sex, and commercials. And I mean, it's just not the same, and it'll never be the same than what it once was. I'm an old school guy. I like old school wrestling, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake is definitely one of the old school guys that really knew what wrestling was about, and you gotta appreciate it. And all you fans that are listening out there that are kind of new to wrestling, there was wrestling before the Attitude Era. I'm just letting everybody know that out there.
Yep, we're against it. Yep, we're against the time frame here. We gotta let you guys go. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Vinny DeGuido, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll hope to talk again soon. Coming up after the break, if it wasn't one legend, we've got another legend, George the Animal Steele, joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
But I'm already here, and now the dudes are lining up, cause they hear we got swagger, but we kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger. I'm talking about
Thursday night. Wild Hawk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Hawk Radio Network.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage. Brett
Berry. Candice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Books. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic books, and I just let you know what's going on. So every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
On Sunday, January 30th, 2011, the entire wrestling industry will converge to Boston, Massachusetts, for the 2011 WRAs. It's the biggest public award show for the wrestling industry, and it only happens once a year. The voting booth is now open. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote up to once per day for all of the coveted titles, such as Wrestler of the Year, Interview of the Year, Best Pro Wrestling Talk Show, Match of the Year, Hottest National Wrestling Babe, and many more categories. If you are in the wrestling industry and would like to participate in this year's festivities, either live or via Skype, for priority accommodations, please contact showdownnews@aol.com. We will see you on January 30th. For more information, please visit WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Yo, I'm in 5 Halls of Fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Barbara Beefcake for joining us here as we begin a weekly segment called WrestleMania Memories, and I am beyond honored that our next guest is here with us, with Spug and Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio. He has been a superstar in this industry going back to when it was Capital Wrestling, when Vince McMahon Sr. ran everything out of a small hotel office in, believe it was somewhere in Maryland, and also had one in Manhattan. If you're a movie fan of the Tim Burton film Ed Wood, yes, that is the gentleman that is going to be joining us here. He was a part of WrestleMania 2, where unfortunately he lost to the Macho Man Randy Savage in the New York portion of WrestleMania 2, and he was at ringside for WrestleMania 3, when Ricky the Dragon Steamboat became the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And if you watch the old school Raw, he was on there as well. Please welcome to the show, George the Animal Steel. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, sir.
Hey, you!
I want to take fans back in time.
Hey! Go!
I'm going.
Let's get this straight. Do you want to talk to Jim Myers or George Steele? There's two people using this body.
Okay, I'm going to go with, I'll go with Jim Myers for the moment, if that's okay.
Yeah, you might get more sense out of him. Hey, because George goes nuts, you know.
I want to take fans back in time, because before you were, when you were not even...
Before I was what? Come on.
Before you were even involved in professional wrestling, you have a master's degree from Central Michigan University. Was it something that was always in your mind that you wanted to be involved in professional wrestling, or was it something that
you... Are you kidding me? Who would want to be involved in professional wrestling? I was making $4,300 a year teaching. I was a football player. I never watched wrestling. I didn't have any respect for it. I thought it was a joke, and I needed to make some money. When I went to, the first time I went to work out and they started showing me the inner and outs of wrestling, it really irritated me because I thought they were challenging my integrity as an athlete. Once I learned the art of working, which is a lost art, I loved the business and had great respect for it. Surprised you, huh?
Not really. when you first started in the business, you were a part of the territorial system and worked for the legendary. Did you work for the legendary Sheik in the Detroit area?
I worked for the person that taught the legendary Sheik in the Detroit area. He's the one that trained me, broke me in, and taught me the leverage of how to work the business. When I say that, it's how to leverage yourself against the promoters to make money. The business is about money with me. Then the Sheik came back. He'd been on the road, and he bought out the Detroit area that I worked with him and for him for quite a few years.
And many people say that has got to be one of the most intimidating figures. When he came through that curtain, people were literally running for their lives. Was that – how did George Animal Steel, the character, was that born from something that was always in Jim Myers, or how did that character develop over the years?
It just was natural. I mean, you know, I learned a lot from the Sheik. I watched the Sheik like a hawk before I ever became George Steel. I was, you know, wrestling with a mask on, and I was very impressed with the way that he did things. There was a few shortcomings that I thought he had, and I was able to learn those shortcomings and capitalize on them also. But when I say that, the Sheik in the Detroit area was a promoter also. He owned the Detroit territory, so he could pretty much do whatever he wanted to. And he was, you know, he never knew how to lose or make the other guy look real good. And as you move out into other territories, if you don't have that talent and you don't own the territory, you're in trouble. You know, so it's kind of simple.
Don't be shy, boys. You can ask him anything you want.
I accidentally muted my microphone. I had started to ask a question and realized I was just talking to my computer monitor.
That's never good.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going on about 3 days without caffeine or nicotine because I'm trying to quit cold turkey, and I'm starting to get the jitters.
Have a smoke.
Now, you've wrestled some of the greats in the business. San Martino, Gorilla Monsoon. You were managed by Classy Freddy Blassie and Mr. Fuji, the Grand Wizard.
Captain Lou.
You know, Captain Lou.
Oh, yeah.
I happen to, just a quick aside real quick, I have the Hall of Fame figure of you sitting on my desk at the moment, and I wasn't aware until about an hour ago that we were going to get to interview you tonight. Mm. You are quite honestly one of my favorites. Watching you as a little kid carry off Miss Elizabeth like King Kong and bite the turnbuckles with your feud with Randy Savage was just, you know, when you're a little kid, that was, you know, amazing.
What people don't understand about that, I call that my cartoon character. Prior to that, from 1962 to 86, I was one of the wildest brawling heels in the history of the business, right along with the Sheik, and we trained Abdullah the Butcher, and you know, all these guys came out of the Burt Ruby School of Monsters, I think. And so the part you're talking about was a totally different George Steele than most people remember before the cartoon character.
When you did your feud with Macho Man and the, I'm not real sure because, like I said, I'm going on like 29, so when I was little when that happened.
You were a baby poo.
I was. Where did the turnbuckle biting come from? Because that's one of the main things that I do remember from the feud is that every time I turn around, I see you ripping apart a turnbuckle, and you got the green tongue hanging out, and just looked like you were having yourself a good old meal there.
Well, what happened years and years and years ago, actually, we were coming out of black and white TV. This probably happened in 1969, maybe 70, 68, in that period of time. In the black and white days and in early TV, we used to give out different gifts, the promoters and promotion would, to get people to come to studio wrestling. A small, you know, a studio with about maybe 150, 200 people in there. In fact, it was in Pittsburgh. And they had plywood around behind the people with faces painted on it, black and white faces. It made it look like they had a bigger crowd. It was black and white TV, basically. In this particular show, they gave away pillows. And this lady got excited with her pillow and threw it at me. you get a pillow in the ring, you know, what are you going to do with it? If you sit on it, it's going to be boring. If you throw it back at him, you're going to get hit with 200 more of these little couch pillows. So I bit it, started throwing it in the air, and the place kind of went nuts, and I took the pillow and put it over my opponent's head and started choking him. Well, the stuffing in the pillow was lighter than air. So when I pulled it off, he was blue. It almost killed him. And when I went back to the dressing room, all the wrestlers was laughing and saying, "Oh, you almost killed that one." And somebody said, "Well, yeah, if you get somebody to throw a pillow at you every night, you'd really have something." And Tony Puglisi, Bruno Sammartino's cousin, said, "Maybe you could eat the turnbuckles," and everybody laughed. About 3 weeks later, I was wrestling with Chief J. Strongbow, and the match just really wasn't getting over. And I looked at the turnbuckle, I thought, well, I wonder. And I went over and munched on it, tore it, run the stuffings into his face, and run his head into the corner after the pad was gone, and he started bleeding. We had a riot. So from then on, I found it was much easier to eat turnbuckles than wrestle.
As we mentioned, you worked for Capital Wrestling and then Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Talk about Vince McMahon Sr. is we've heard from legends such as superstar Billy Graham and others that he was way, way different than Vince Jr. Always had, I think it was a handful of coins that he always shucked around in his hand, and he always carried one book that had everything in his hands. Talk about him and Phil Zacco and Gorilla Monsoon, who I believe were in charge of the Capital Wrestling outfit.
Well, when I first went into the Capital Wrestling, Monsoon was just another wrestler. He wasn't the manager yet. I went in to meet Vince Sr., way before I actually went in there. Bruno had recommended me. I'd gone into Pittsburgh. See, let me just give you the straight story, okay?
Sure.
Your lead is getting ahead of itself a little bit. I was wrestling as a student with a mask in the Detroit area. I was teaching school, coaching football and wrestling, and I didn't want people to know who I was. So when Bruno came to Detroit the first time to wrestle, he wrestled a guy by the name of Bulldog Brower, and I was spotted. He had a whole entourage of guys with him, and I was invited to go to Pittsburgh to wrestle Bruno. Well, when I went to Pittsburgh, I had my mask and my cap and gown. I went as a student, and I was, you know, that was my name. I didn't want to use my real name, so they asked me, they told me they didn't want a mask, man, so right away I was going to do away with the mask, and they asked me, they wanted to use my real name, and I said, absolutely not. Because I teach and coach, and that was my main love. And they decided we tried to get up a new name. And Johnny DeFazio, one of the locals there, said, "This is the Steel City. Let's call him Jim Steele." I said, "I'd like Steele." Somebody else said George. So that part of my body is only 42 years old, about there somewhere. Anyhow, that's how George Steele started. We started. They were just having a hard time in Pittsburgh at that time, and we started selling out pretty quickly. And the next summer, I was invited to go into New York through Bruno. And I went to the hotel in Washington, D.C., and met with Vince McMahon. It was kind of kayfabe. Bruno went in the day before, and then I come in because things are really, you know, a lot different then. And when I walked in, Vince took one look at me, and here I am. I'm a school teacher. I got a sports jacket on with leathered elbows. And so he took one look at me, and, you know, well, what's this? After a little chit-chat, because Bruno had told him I could sell tickets, they asked me to take my jacket and my shirt off, and he saw the hair of my body and the girth and everything, and he got more excited about using me as part of his promotion. So we went in the first time around. The Madison Square Gardens was a new building. It was just being opened up, and we did some pretty good, incredible business there. And then in the Boston Gardens, because at that time, the Northeast was down a little bit. And we sold out some events in some places where they were really struggling. And I was I didn't have a manager. When I went in, I did all my own talking. I didn't have anyone speaking for me because I was only going to be there 2 or 3 months. Well, because of the reaction we got, Vince Sr., who became a very close friend of mine, and not because of business, I think he respected me because I was into the coaching and that part of the thing. We became very, very close. Anyhow, they wanted me to come back the following summer. So I went back the following summer, and we had, again, great, you know, with Bruno Sammartino, naturally, the world's champion. We had some great business again across the whole Northeast, not just New York, but Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, the whole Northeast. And so they wanted me to come back the third year. Now this has turned into a pretty good thing for me. And the third year, the second year when I left, they wanted to give me a manager, which was the Grand Wizard, Ernie Roth, and so he could talk for me when I wasn't there. So that's why I had my first manager, and so that when I wasn't in the Northeast, I had somebody to just keep my name alive and keep it going. And from then on, about every third or fourth year, I would take a year off and go somewhere else. But New York was always my home base. And so from the beginning, to the first time I went to Pittsburgh was 1967. I went to New York in 1968, and kept going back and forth there until I retired. So I had a heck of a run in there, and it was pretty neat because when I just go in for the summertime, they'd run shows in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, and Providence, Rhode Island. These are big arenas. You know, the Northeast had all the big arenas with a large population. And I would get to work with the champion on every one of the big shows. So I was making really big money at the time, as was the champion, for the times. Now, you know, money is different now, naturally. But it was just a foundation that was unbelievable. And all this was not cartoon stuff. This was very hardcore healing and tough business. Later on, when Vinny took over, what I called Vinny the Junior, it became a little bit of a total different business. A lot of guys criticize him. I think they're wrong to do that. A lot of things are changing in the world. Communication, computers, all these other things are going on. And the wrestling business, the way that I did it originally, couldn't have continued that way. It had to change. And Vince has been a genius in marketing, more so than wrestling, and a genius in television, again, more so than wrestling. But he had they still call it wrestling under the marquee, but I'm not sure that it's the same wrestling that we did way back when. And I'm not sure the wrestling we did way back when would sell now. I don't know.
Now, you had just said when you first started with Capital and what would eventually become WWE today as we know it, that you didn't have a manager and you were doing all your own talking. Mm-hmm. And then later they gave you Classy Freddie Blassie and the Grand Wizard and so on, Captain Lou. Do you think it is better for those wrestlers that would kind of pattern themselves in the image of a George Animal Steel, a big brawler, monster type heel gimmick, to have a manager to speak for them, to keep sort of the kayfabe and intimidation factor?
Boy, that's hard to say. It's hard to knock a business that's a multi-billion-dollar business today. It's hard to second guess what they're doing. What we did back then, it had to be done that way. It really did. What they do now, we couldn't have done because we worked our matches. What I mean by worked our matches is I usually knew what the finish was going to be, but from the get-go, everything was called in the ring. And we didn't have to worry about a 15-minute or 8-minute commercial. So they're in the TV business now. We were not in the TV business. We wrestled on TV just to promote ourselves so I could go on television and wrestle anyone they wanted to put in front of me for 4, 5, 6, or 7 minutes and totally destroy them. It was not a wrestling match. I just chopped meat. That's what the old Sheik did. I mean, you know, that's what we did, just chopped meat. So it wasn't really wrestling. So when I got to the arena to Bruno Sammartino, the people who already wanted to see if I could chop meat with him or not, I didn't have to do much at all because the house shows were just so easy to work. We'd go 45 minutes. Most of the matches were anywhere from 30 to 45, 50 minutes. And the people would be crawling in the ring because it was such a psychological effect to it. Not they can't do that today. I think they're better athletes today. I think they're better shape, probably, but they can't do what we used to do because of the time constraints. And I'm not sure that I could get over with what they do today, or that I would even want to.
We have a chat room question for you. Taking yourself out of the equation, and this may be a difficult one to answer. Who is the most underrated performer in terms of what they did for the business during the 80s expansion that Vince Jr. did?
Bobby Backlund.
Did you
surprise you? Huh?
A little bit. Well, what did you think when Vince Jr. came in and said, "Okay, he's not my guy. This bleach blonde, really tall guy called Hulk Hogan is my guy. I'm taking the belt off."
You got to remember that Vince was there a couple of years before he did that, and he rode that other. You know, he got that foundation going, and I think that he had plans way beyond what his father was doing before he ever became the owner of the WWE or the WWF, as I call it. So Bobby Backlund was a huge part of that foundation. It was because he was so blah next to this blonde-headed monster that was coming in that had so much charisma. And so I think it was a great launching point. You said somebody that was really underestimated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Bobby. That's Bobby. I mean, he was perfect for the launching pad for Hulk Hogan.
He is Jim Myers, also known as George Animal Steel, joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Our number is 267-297-1397. If you wish to join us, you can also Skype Sir Rockin. We got another chat room question. What was your initial reaction when WWE Creative walked up to you and said, "See this doll? This is called mine. We'd like you to use it." Was mine something that you came up with? The creative came up with?
That never happened. The creation, you know, they didn't have much to do with me. Nothing. Let's put it that way. I never dealt with those people at all. I was always in control of my own character and everything that I did. Now, here's what happened, and this is a great story. Do you remember the Hillbilly Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, Hillbilly Jim used to travel with an unstuffed animal. It was called Earl the Dead Cat. And the Earl the Dead Cat was a flat thing. It looked like it had been run over by a car. His eyes were crossed and the tail was crooked. And me and my wife was in a southern town. He says, "Come here and see my bed partner." So we went over to see what he was talking about, and he showed me Earl the Dead Cat. I said, "I got to have that. I got to have that. I got to use it tonight." So I was being interviewed by Mean Gene, and I had this Earl the Dead Cat behind me, and he kept asking me questions about who I was going to do. And I said, "Earl! What are you going to do to him?" "Like Earl! Dead Cat!" He didn't know what I was talking about. And so when I pulled this thing out, this unstuffed animal, and I was just trying to make Mean Gene crack up a little bit, it got a huge pop. Well, Vince saw that, and he came up to me and says, "What in the world are you doing selling somebody else's stuffed animals? Design your own, and we'll go into the animal, you know, stuffed animal business." So I designed mine pretty much on my own. I named it. I had the Velcro put on the hands and the ball head and the weird looking thing, and that was really one of my retirement dolls. But that's how that came about. It was simply, again, people always ask me, "How did you come up with the green tongue? How did you come up with this here, the creation?" We didn't have that creation team back then. Actually, it was starting. I was still wrestling when they were doing that, but they didn't talk to me.
Well, take that from there. Go ahead. Go ahead, Spug. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I had a follow-up. And you'd said that they didn't have the creation teams and the creative and storyline writers and stuff like that when you were working. Would you like to see them kind of take the handcuffs off some of the better-known guys in today, like a Triple H or a John Cena or Randy Orton, to see what they can do within the confines of the way the business is today?
Well, I don't, you know, that's a tough question. Again, do these guys have the talent to do that? Everything I did happened by accident. I was a freelancer. And a lot of times people, you know, I was told to do one thing. I didn't necessarily do it. I did something else. I was a loose cannon most of the time. They'd tell me not to eat a turnbuckle, I'd eat two. You know, this kind of thing. I don't know if they could, I don't think it'd be wise for them to give the guys the open hand that I had. I'm not sure they could handle it, but I'm not sure it'd be wise if they, you know, a good example. I don't know if you ever watched the old stuff or not, but
I do.
We do.
They were giving me electrical shock treatment. and trying to make me smart so I could talk, and I did a how now brown cow. Vince would give me a poem that would have lasted a minute and a half. I'm dyslexic anyhow, so that's a struggle. So when we went on live, he thought I was going to recite this long poem. If you look at when they're doing it, you kind of see a shocked look on his face. Instead of doing that, I just did a how now brown cow, and people still come up to me to this day and lay that line on me. If I'd have did that other garbage that he wanted me to do, you know, it would have been lost in the shuffle. So again, I just did a lot of things on my own way, and I had leverage, and I got leverage early on. I told you when I started going in there in the 68, 69, 70, we were selling tickets. This carried on through the Pedro Morales era, and later on through the Bobby Backlund era, and even I had some championship matches with Hulk Hogan. So I had a long run in there. So, you know, people weren't really going to come up and tell me what to do, because no one ever had.
Just real quick, I'm sorry, Alan. You had said that you had worked, you know, with Bob Backlund and Hogan and stuff, and I can't, for the life of me at this current moment, remember, did you ever work with Andre the Giant? And if so, what was he like to work with in the ring?
I worked with Andre a few times. He was a pleasure. I mean, he was a talented guy. He really was. He was big, so you worked the big part. He a lot of times he would want people to try to slam him and so on. The guys would try. He called a slam with me. And it sold my back and fell down holding my back. I mean, come on, it's crazy to try to lift a guy up like that. But I had some good matches with him. One of the greatest matches that ever happened for the boys. Now, this is not for the fans. This is for the boys. Andre told the guys in the dressing room, we were in separate dressing rooms, tonight I play joke on George. And he ate about four garlics and washed them down with some wine, come in the ring, and he pushed me to the corner, put those big hands around my face like a gas mask, and went, with the garlic and slobber and everything. I caught his thumb. I twisted it. I got away from him. He laughed. Ho, ho, ho. He pushed me to the other corner, put the gas mask up, and again, I got the thumb, and I rolled out. I give him the Italian salute and left. The match lasted about 45 seconds, but the rib was on him.
I'll stop laughing in a second because that's an image I can't get out of my head right now. As fans of this current generation know, you were a part recently of the old school Raw coming down during Kofi Kingston's match. Talk about just being there, because you said you never dealt with that creative aspect, whereas today's product.
You're saying the old school match, that was with the WWE about 5 weeks ago. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, who was the guy that came down in?
I believe he came in during Kofi Kingston's match.
I know who you're talking about now. He's a pretty neat guy, by the way. He's a pretty talented individual.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask was, now it seems that Stephanie McMahon's the head of the writing thing, and then there's writing staff for the Friday Night Show, a writing staff for Raw. How would you have reacted in this era if that kind of situation had existed in the 70s? Would you have been able to handle somebody coming up to you and saying, okay, here's what we'd like you to say, or here's...
I'd have done it my way. I'll just tell you up front, I would have done it my way.
Oh,
and they could fire me. They could have fired me. It's all right. Mm. But I would have done it my way. Because I'll tell you a little story about Randy Savage, who I think is a fantastic worker. But at that point when I was wrestling Randy, you know, the business was passing me by. Randy came up to me. Now remember, I've been in the business. I knew Randy's father. I wrestled with Randy's father. I knew Randy when he was a 12, 13-year-old kid. First time we were going to wrestle at it was a Saturday Night Main Event. He came up with me with about 5 pages of a match written out. This is what we're going to do here. First of all, I thought it was disrespectful because I'd been there. He was a new kid on the block. So you see, I am a hardhead. And then he gave me this sheet, and I read each page. Excuse me. As I read a page, I would wrinkle it up in my hand and throw it in the garbage and look at him, which was really getting him hot. He's, what's he going to do? So I tore up another one, When I got done, I said, now, kid, you listen to me and we'll have a great match. And I would have done that with anyone that, and this is the way I was. If they didn't want me there for what I was, then fire me. I could care less.
As mentioned, this is a part of a WrestleMania Memories edition. Brutus Beefcake talked about his feelings the night of that event when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant.
Sure.
But many people say you were part of probably hands down the best match in WrestleMania history. Take us through that day itself, because you get to that building and you go, okay, wow, this building's humongous. The Detroit Lions sell this place out. Did you at all sit there and go, there's no way they're going to put 90,000 people in here? What was your feelings when you went to the ring with Ricky Steamboat once you came out and saw this crowd?
Again, it comes a little bit earlier than the day of the show. I lived about 12 miles from Silverdome. I'm from Detroit. And it's from the Oakland County, actually. And then Silverdome was 12 miles from my home. But prior to that, about 3.5 years earlier, the Detroit promotion, the old Sheik's promotion, had fallen off. It was terrible. It was promoting. In fact, they'd call me and ask if I'd be available for a show, and I'd tell them no, and they'd still go ahead and promote me. So they were promoting a lot of people that weren't showing up. They had killed the territory completely. And Vince McMahon Jr., Vinny, came up to me, and he says, do you think we can get Detroit going again? I said, if we run 2 or 3 years of shows with no substitutions, everybody shows up, because Detroit was one of the hottest wrestling towns in the country, actually in the world, when the Sheik was running it early on. I said, if we do things right, I think about, you know, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, we'll be able to get it back. Almost to the month, 3 years later, was WrestleMania III. So I kind of felt like we could get it going again, big time. And I wasn't surprised at all because of the promotion. It wasn't just Detroit people coming in. WrestleMania III drew from all over the world. It was a phenomenal promotion. The first WrestleMania was more of a, I think you couldn't get it in your home. You had to go to different theaters and watch it. So WrestleMania II was a pay-per-view from your home. And I think I'm telling you right.
Yes, sir.
And then WrestleMania III was the grandpapa of them all, really, kind of like the Rose Bowl.
I'm a movie fan, as I mentioned when I talked to you earlier today. I'm a big movie fan, and one of the best movies out of the 90s happened to be about the worst film director in history, and that would be Ed Wood. And sitting in the theater, and all of a sudden this Tor Johnson character comes on, and immediately my friend elbows me and he says, holy cow, that's, I said, yeah, that's who you think it is. How were you approached for that? Was it Tim Burton that had approached you? And talk about being a part of a movie that I believe won, I know Martin Landau won for best supporting actor playing the legend of Bela Lugosi and other
two academies. It won one for best makeup with Bela Lugosi and Martin Bolt. Tim Burton contacted me through the WWF, and I met with him out at, we had a show in L.A. I was an agent at the time, and I met with him at his office, which was kind of a strange thing. The walls were painted black with bats hanging all over the place from this movie Batman. Anyhow, and this guy's got this loose curlier hair. It's like, you know, this is weird. But anyhow, he told me that he'd been looking for somebody to play this role of Tor Johnson, and it kept coming back to me. He said he didn't know if he wanted to be either an actor or a wrestler. He says, but your name keeps coming up. But then he looked at me, he says, you're a little short. He said, Tor Johnson's about 6'4", 6'5", and you're only about, at that time, it was about 6'1", 6'2". I'm shrinking now with old age. Anyhow, he said, you know, so I figured that it was over with, that I wasn't going to get the part. And about 2.5 months later, he called back and said, we've decided to have some shoe lifts make you taller. You're the man we want to use. Because you look just like this movie star. Well, I don't know who Tor Johnson is, and I don't know anything about Ed Wood. So I'm kind of like, a movie star. And then I researched the part and found out that Ed Wood, Tor Johnson was the first guy to do monster movies without makeup, and I look just like this movie star, which made me a lot of money in wrestling.
Now, I'm just wondering, during the era that you were wrestling for the WWF, most of the guys there were pretty buffed up, to put it in quotations. Yet, I always seem to remember you more...
I missed what you said.
Buffed up. Muscled, if you could put it that way. Yet, I remember you and your character more for being the fuzzy guy. Did they ever turn around and say, you know, George, you've got too much hair, let's clean it up a bit, or something like that?
I'd have left. They never messed with me. They just really didn't do that. And I don't think they would have. My character, I was a proven commodity by the time Vinny came in. I'd been there for 15 years or thereabouts. So, you know, it was their choice. This is what I am. And I'm pretty hard-headed, by the way. Vinny, now, one thing he did do, and I'll tell you how this happened. I had managers, but because I'd leave town, they would use the managers to talk about me. But I always did my own talking, pretty much with the manager standing there like a, you know, like whatever. But I did my own interviews for a long time after head managers. And one day Vince said, "You're making too much sense for an animal." And I looked at him and we said, "Let's do that again." So when we started again, I give this real dumb look and went, and he said, "That's what we want." And I went, "Oh, crap." But that's one thing that they did change with me, and I thought it was a huge mistake, but it worked out big time for me.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Who was your favorite manager? Because, I mean, you had the Grand Wizard, you had Captain Lou and Freddie Blassie and Mr. Fuji, I believe Luscious Johnny Valiant for a little while there. Who did you feel fit best with the George Steele character?
With the George Steele character, you. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the curveball. Probably, I liked the Grand Wizard probably the best by a lot. The reason being, he could talk really good. And when you were in the ring, he wasn't doing anything to distract from the match. He kind of, you know, kept himself still. Other guys were trying to be in the show sometimes too much. But the best manager I ever had was not with the WWE or WWF or WWWF. It was back in my beginning days with a mask with a guy by the name of Gary Hart.
Oh, wow.
And Gary Hart and I started in the business together. And we learned the business together. And I think that he didn't have the opportunity to come to New York because I tried to get him there, and Bruno had blocked him a little bit. He would have been fantastic in there. But him and I really clicked big time, and that's where I really learned how to use a manager was with him before I ever got to the WWF.
Up there, Spug, he's back.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my uncle, who is stationed in Iraq at the current moment, called. Mm-hmm. And just a quick aside, when I was little, every Saturday morning, my uncle would take me to McDonald's for breakfast, and we'd go get our hair cut, and then we'd come home and watch Saturday Morning Superstars. Mm-hmm. And usually 10 times out of 9, George Animal Steele was on there.
Right.
And he wanted me to tell you that he really enjoyed you watching you wrestle as he was growing up, and he wanted to know how you got your tongue so green and if you had any grooming tips for him because he wants to get the George the Animal Steel vest going.
First of all, let me say this. You tell your uncle that I said thank you for all that he's doing and the other people in the armed forces are doing for our country. May God be with them. I mean, his service is so huge, and what these young people are doing over there is just so huge, and we can't thank him enough. Secondly, I learned, you know, the creation team was at work with me again with the Green Tongue. I forgot this one. I'd had a couple of drinks, but I didn't want the promoters to know it. Again, it was in Pittsburgh, and I threw some of the old Clorets in my mouth and went on live TV and did not know my tongue was green. The following Friday, when I went to Pittsburgh for the Civic Arena show, they had these big green signs of big green tongues hanging out all over the place. I laughed at it. I thought, that's kind of funny. And about 3 months later, I ate the Clorets again on purpose to make my tongue green again without the drinks. And the place went nuts again. From that time on, I ate Clorets or did something to my tongue to make it green, actually Clorets all along. Until I retired, and the good news was I had the best breath in all of wrestling. that creation team was something else, huh?
Absolutely. I want that creation team for my show.
Now I'm going to tell you, I got my name, the animal, the creation team again.
Absolutely.
Because I started, I was wrestling and I had the real hairy body. Fans would start calling you an animal. I'd get on the mic and say, I'm not an animal, I'm a people. The more I did that, the more they called me the animal. And it took about 2.5 years for the WWF to figure out, hey, maybe we better call the animal. But that, again, was the people doing it, the creation team.
And as we close down here, my dad, I'm third generation New Yorker. My dad was taken to Madison Square Garden version 3, and I was taken to the one that's above Penn Station. So I go back to the New York era of wrestling where you were there. And then, of course, the legend of Superstar Billy Graham, who, like you, was managed by the Grand Wizard, and like you, probably didn't need the Grand Wizard to get over. Would there have been a dream match in my mind just popped in, would have been at your prime, the character of George the Animal Steel versus Superstar Billy Graham? Would that have been just the biggest clash of mismatch, or would that have sold like crazy in New York?
Well, it was sold big time, I'm sure, but not the way it was done, because what happened, Billy, when Billy got the championship, he got it in Baltimore, and they had two other classic heels on the card at the time. One was the great, great Kent Patera in his prime, you know, the power lifter, and just a tremendous interview, and George the Animal Steel. So the first year or two that that Billy had the first, I shouldn't say year, because I was only there 3 months out of this period of time. The main events were really Billy for the championship with whoever, and then supported very strongly by Ken Patera and myself, because they were afraid to let Billy go as a heel. Why? Because Vince McMahon Sr. was scared to death of riots, especially in the gardens. If we had a riot in there, he would lose the building and lose the business. So they really kind of sheltered Billy early on. Billy was ahead of his time. He had the great look. He was a fantastic talker and a fantastic wrestler. Probably would have been better as a babyface early on, but they had him as a heel. And it had to be that way because of beating Bruno. So it worked out pretty good, but Billy was just a bit ahead of his time, to be honest with you. I think the idea of Hulk Hogan came from Billy Graham.
Yep. He was interviewed by one of our mutual friends, Sean Oliver, who owns a DVD company that does a series called Timeline History of the WWE, and he talked about the night that he beat Bruno in Baltimore and how I believe the next night was a Madison Square Garden event. And in that era, there was no internet. There was no fan trading information.
Right.
And he talked about it. He said just the reaction when he came down that aisle in Madison Square Garden led to what could have been a riot. Did that ever happen in your career as a heel? Terry Funk had talked about people coming after him with knives. Freddie Blass, he's always talked about getting stabbed. Did it ever get really dangerous for you being that heel character?
Well, usually when I was let's talk about the Gardens, because that's you know, the Mecca. Usually when I wrestled in the Gardens with Bruno or Bobby or Pedro or anybody, it was just before or just after the intermission. And that was so I could get dressed and get the heck out of the building, you know, safely. I had a match with Bruno. No, I forget what year it was. Anyhow, it was a time limit match. And we went to the curfew, which at that time was 11 o'clock. So we started at probably 10 or something like that. And we had gone 50 minutes. And the last 7 or 8 minutes, because people realized that we were going to go to the draw, and I had him beating on me pretty good, but I would roll out of the ring, roll back in at 9, go around the corner, roll back out again, just a complete stall, like a basketball stall or something like that, which the riot, you could just feel it coming. They were ready to, they wanted to get a hold of me, and I wouldn't let them.
they wanted to, it was ready to explode. So the show's over. It's raining out. It's raining out. And I waited about 45 minutes to let the crowd go out. When I went out the exit that we usually went out, started out, there was about 500 people there waiting for me.
Oh, my God.
So what they did is they took me down through the old Felt Forum, which we had sold out that night.
Oh, yeah. I remember that building.
So you look at the old Felt Forum, and there's a screen up there, and there's a couple of cameras where they put a hole in the screen, throwing the cameras at the screen. It wasn't even me. So we went out to Felt Forum area, and there was people out there. I think that's on 8th Avenue. And a bunch of people. So they brought me back in, and Jack Lanza was with me. And they put me in a cab coming out of the train depot. Went down and underneath into the train depot, put me in a cab and told the cab driver not to stop. So as we come out of the gardens in there, he turns right and he comes up to the light there on 8th. I think it's 8th and 34th Street. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a truck there. And as we're coming up, the light turns red. And there's a truck in front of us. And the people that were waiting, and now we're behind where I was going to come out. If you know the gardens there, you know what I'm talking about. They
yes,
spot me over there, and here they come. 400, 500, 600 of them. They started rocking the cab. And the cab driver, not yet. He didn't start out yet. When it got kind of dangerous, I threw the door open and reached down like I was going to pull out a gun, and they scattered. I rolled back in the cab, and now they come back with abundance because they see I didn't have a gun. And they really started shaking the cab, and the cab driver, scared to death, tried to get out. You know how they got the glass in the cabs there, where you put the money in to separate the driver from the passenger?
Oh, yeah.
I had to break that out, because the cab driver's trying to get out of the cab. If he gets out, I got no driver. We're dead. And so I reach, and I've got him by the shoulder, come, don't get out, don't get out. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. And the light changed green, and the truck stalled.
Oh, my God.
So we're there. So Jack Lanza, thank God he was with me. I'd have never thought of this. He told the truck and the cab driver, because they're trying to tip the cab over, to drive underneath the truck. So he did. So the cab's underneath the truck, and they're trying to shake it. Now they're bending the hood. And it's raining out, and somebody took an umbrella and tried to break the window in the back, but they cracked it so it looked like scattered, you know, but they didn't break through it because it's got that pixie glass in the middle. Anyhow, they break the back window. The light changes. The truck moves, and we go. We start down 8th Avenue. We come to, I forget if it's 35th or it's 35th or 33rd, whichever it was. We had to make a right on 8th Avenue, I think. And you look through, and it's new. This is one of the few Saturday night shows. And the traffic that we get through, these people that were after me are running down 8th Avenue, and we got through the traffic because the guy in the cab is blowing the horn and working his way through. As we break through, you look back, and they're running over the hoods of the cars and still chasing us. It looked like pirates chasing a boat, really. We went about three blocks like that, made a right, and headed for the Kennedy Airport. When we got to the Kennedy Airport, Jack Lanza and I both being big spenders, we each give the guy a $10 bill tip. His car's destroyed, his back window's broken, and the hood's all wrinkled up. I said, thank you. We laughed like heck because we were both taking the same plane as Northwest that would stop in Detroit and take him on to Minnesota. We were laughing on the plane, on the flight. We said, I bet he never picks anybody up by the gardens again. That was a great escape. Yeah, we had a lot of things like that. There was a lot of different situations where people tried to get to you. Because of my character, as a heel, they would come at me, and I'd turn around and come at them, and I would chase people, and I got in more trouble, people tripping over themselves trying to get away from me. I used intimidation to get through the crowd and outside the ring, you know, in the ring and the whole bit. Total intimidation. I call it the fear factor.
Go ahead, Mace. You wanted to. You sure you want to do this?
I'm quite sure I want to do this.
Well, let's do it.
Well, the first thing is there a chance I may have one question with George, please?
Hey!
George, I have one question for you, my friend. Please, tell us, how does the turnbuckle taste?
Yeah, yeah. Good as sauteed.
Oh, Lord.
All right, we as much as we want to keep going with this, we're going to let Mr. Myers go. Stay with us as we go to break, because the gentlemen want to talk to you off the air for a second. Coming up after the break, Phil Strom will join us. We will talk Monday Night Raw. We will talk Friday Night SmackDown. And the return of Tough Enough to the WWE airwaves. All I Will of Wrestling Radio. I'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnMyWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Mysterio.
Anna Christel.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van Der Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
Welcome back, everybody, to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are available on podcast through iTunes. You can go through our archive site releases we put each and every week out on the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page. And if you're also part of OWW Genesis, which is our official forum for Online World of Wrestling, you can find out all about that because you will want to call each and every friend you have and say, oh, my God, I just listened to George the Animal Steel and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and any legend that comes on after this has got a tough act to follow, kids. I am Alan Wojcik, Spug and Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio, from Tap Outs to Knockouts are joining us. We will talk TNA wrestling in a little while. We will talk about the controversy that came out of UFC 125 in a little while, but he had the honor of interviewing George Animal Steel, Jim Myers, for the Poughkeepsie Journal and his blog Under the Ring. And he's taken time for us tonight to come in and speak with us on World Wrestling Entertainment and everything that's going on. Phil Strum is joining us. Good evening and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. Great to be on. Great interview with George there.
That was mind blowing. We'll all need a moment because I think if Spug quit smoking, he's probably got like 20 of them in his mouth right now going, I just interviewed George Steele. Holy crap. we've had an interesting week with WWE, more backstage than in front due to a couple reasons. One was the announcing. It is official that Tough Enough 5, I guess this would be, will be airing. The premiere is going to be on April 4th. That's right, the night after WrestleMania 27, kids. The first show is going to air after WWE Raw, and then it'll move to its usual lead-in to Raw, which will be the 8 o'clock block. So if you're a fan of NCIS, oops, sorry, you just lost it on a Monday. Now, this, according to the release, was sent out by World Wrestling Entertainment yesterday, that USA Network has given a 10-episode order for this show and is literally calling it a non-scripted series in configuration with World Wrestling Entertainment and Shed Media US. This comes from an executive vice president of marketing, brand, and strategy for USA Network, Jeff Wattel, and also a Chris McCumber. We're thrilled to tag team with WWE in bringing Tough Enough back to television. For By focusing on both the physical and the performance challenges of becoming a superstar, the show will shine a new light on what it truly takes to make your mark in the WWE universe. Kevin Dunn, who Sean Oliver does a great impression of, for years, the return of Tough Enough has been one of the most talked about and most speculated topics amongst reality show fans and television insiders. With the combined promotional muscle of USA Network and WWE, the right time slot, and the reality show experience of Shed Media, WWE is looking forward towards a successful return of one of the first reality show hits. And our fans are going, what's the Shed Media, Alan? Shed Media has been involved in creations of The Real Housewives of New York City, World's Strictest Parents, and another one, I believe it's called Who Do You Think You Are? So since you are in the New York market, you're a little north in Poughkeepsie, just with the media aspect of this, Tough Enough is being back. How has it been reacted at on your site, on your Twitter, and anything else in your mind? And are you looking forward to this?
I'm looking forward to it because I always thought, while it wasn't always the best outlet for creating superstars necessarily, which of course makes me look like a moron now because Miz is the world champion and Morrison won contender last night. They're both Tough Enough alums. I always thought it was a good show. Sometimes, you know, it was hit or miss whether or not the superstars they actually got out of it, you know, worked out to the best of their abilities. You know, some of the winners didn't really pan out, but, I never thought it should have gone away. I thought they were doing a pretty good job with it, and it was a show that had a lot of interest. I thought from outside of wrestling, I had people when it was on the first run who weren't necessarily wrestling fans who catch a couple of episodes of Tough Enough on MTV because they thought it looked interesting, and it was interesting. They've had a little time to think around a concept. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but. I personally, just mainly because I haven't really been much talking to people about wrestling over the last day and a half or so, I haven't really heard much of people's reactions about it, but I'm all for it coming back. I mean, it's about time. It's 2010. Why not?
Yeah, we'll let fans know we are in talks with the casting folks that had put out, I think it was RealityWanted.com or HollywoodRealityWanted.com was the site. We're in talks with them to possibly be stopping by in the next couple weeks to take us through all that kind of stuff. Since you had interviewed Georgia Admiral Steele, you also interviewed the person that's known to everyday people as Keith Stevens. You interviewed her as Awesome Kong or Amazing Kong or wherever you've got it. And we'll go to Spug and Mace in a second with this, but having met her like I have, and you meet this soft-spoken individual, and she hits the curtain as Awesome Kong, and of course, there's rumors going around, I'm not 100% sure still to this day that it's been 100% locked, I don't know if you or anyone else can confirm it for us, but her Twitter account, and yes, I've gone Twitter.com, my name is Wojcik, we'll let Phil pub his later. From her Twitter, it had said, my dreams just came true today. I got my dream job. Yes, that one. To Phil, then, the Spugged and the Mace, initial reactions, especially if this is 100% legit and that Awesome Kong or whatever name they're going to give her is coming to WWE. And if you're creative, in my mind, I don't know about you guys, but she's the bodyguard for Lay Cool. It's like the easiest one and one is two here.
Yeah. I think it would be a great idea. Actually, I never had the opportunity to interview Kia Stevens because at the time she was in a non-speaking role at TNA and she wasn't permitted to do any interviews at the time. I did speak to her, but I wasn't able to do the interview. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She's very, very nice, and, you know, very, very giving of her time with her fans and everything like that. I was really, really happy to see her get this opportunity because I think it's really a long time coming for her. I think she's very deserving of it, and creatively, what do you really have to do with Awesome Kong? You put her out there and you just let her kick some butt. I mean, seriously, that's what she does. That's what she's best at. And I really think they're going to see a lot of dollar signs with her. I mean, because there's a lot of opportunity for her. And for anybody who's been critical of the WWE's women's division, it's been up and down. And, you know, they've had a hard time finding new stars and stuff like that since Trish Stratus and Lita and some of the other women have left. But boy, they have a lot of good opportunity coming up in 2011 if they use her properly. And you got Beth Phoenix and Natalya and Gail Kim and Melina and Michelle McCool and everybody, and Layla, who's getting better every week out, in my opinion, too. I think it's just, you're going to see a lot of great stuff, and I was really, really happy to see that they signed her.
Yeah, I'm sort of iffy about it at this point in time, because like we've become so used to a WWE mold for divas like they have for wrestlers, and Awesome Kong doesn't really fit that mold, but at the same time, good on her for picking up the WWE paycheck. I'd love to be making that kind of money.
Some of the best wrestlers never fit the WWE mold. Some of the best ones they've ever had in the company never fit that mold. Piper, Bad News Brown, Flair, Steamboat, Jake Roberts. You know, some of the best wrestlers they've ever had never fit that chiseled physique, bleach blonde, Jewish bald spot, you know, mold. So I think it's good. I want to see what she does. I was never a fan in TNA, because I'm not a fan of TNA. So I shouldn't let that cloud my judgment about one individual. But I'm real interested to see what she does in WWE.
Also, I just think the signing of her, like you said, you know, she's not the cookie cutter of what they normally sign. I think that's a good sign for what WWE is looking at for talent, looking in the future now, because, you know, they have tried, you know, Bryan Danielson, and you know, obviously Brandon Silvestri didn't, you know, work out the way they probably wanted to or he wanted to. But, you know, guys like Husky Harris, like kind of unconventional people that they've been signing lately, and but the people that could, you know, it's kind of like the people that made the wrestling in the 70s and 80s and 90s run.
Mm. These gentlemen had a lot of fun when we were watching the UFC event Saturday, and Sir Rock and our tech producer and all-around genius chimes in and says, guys, Beth Phoenix, Natty Neidhart versus Leigh Cool on SmackDown, you're going to get to see some naughty action. Especially now that they've gone to sci-fi. And of course, with all that, we ask this question all the time when we have media folks on. How much longer is this PG stuff going on? I mean, there was apparently some, I believe, dry humping was, I think, the phrase that Spug and Mace used.
No. Hold on. My name is not to be brought into this. You know why? Because for once, not my fault. Didn't have anything to do with this one.
What was this?
Okay, well, because we were sitting there watching the show, and all of a sudden, they're like, it was Layla, Natty Neidhart, dry humping, go, and Maze fucking, Maze is just like, what? the question is, you brought up the women's division, and let's just run the division right now. Your champs, Natty Neidhart, you've got the Bella Twins, you've got Eve Torres, you've got Melina Maurice, Alicia Fox, Beth Phoenix, Leigh Cool, now you've got Awesome Kong. You've got
AJ Lee. She did a great job on NXT.
Yeah, and you've got Naomi Knight, I believe, will come in at some point, and Caitlin, if they decide to bring her in there. So, I mean, people are always going, like, oh, you know, the TNA girls can't match up. I mean, right now, this division's getting better and better every day. Is it? Can you hope that this is the way it goes in 2011?
Yeah, you know what? If they can give us, you know, I mean, I even thought last night's the six diva match on Raw was a lot better than a lot of the stuff that we've seen in the last year or two. I mean, if it's something that they're going to focus on, obviously they still have Finley and Billy Kidman and whoever else is working with the women's wrestlers. You know, not everybody's going to be a Trish Stratus, and I think they know that. Just like, you know, looking for Steve Austin or The Rock or anything like that is kind of a futile exercise in something you're never going to find. But they have a pretty good wide variety of different looks and different styles right now. And, you know, you had somebody like Awesome Kong in there. Can you imagine what Awesome Kong against AJ Lee would even look like? I mean, she's, you know, a third of her size.
I'm not sure if that ever took place in WSU when both of them were there or not.
It'd be great to watch. I mean, it would be a dream rip.
Yeah, Phil Strom of the Poughkeepsie Journal joining us here on All In World of Wrestling Radio. His blog on that site is called Under the Ring. The last couple weeks, guys, we've seen some crossing of shows that hasn't happened in a while. You had during the live SmackDown before Christmas, you had John Cena cross over. Recently, we've seen Alberto Del Rio cross over last night, taking on Ron Killings. In any of yours mind, and please don't jump all at the same time, but is this the beginning of testing the waters and fans' eyes to see, is this the ending of the branding and that we may end up seeing how we did before 2001 and 2 when this happened and everyone's on Raw, everyone's on SmackDown, or are these rosters just so huge you have to keep this branding going?
I think the branding is going to stay. I think that the reasoning that they're splitting it up or they're using SmackDown people on Raw and vice versa right now is mostly to promote SmackDown on Sci-Fi, which has not had the ratings that perhaps they've wanted in the early going. And I also think it's just a lot easier for the creative team leading up to WrestleMania, where you do have a lot of multi-brand matches, to be able to create using multiple people from multiple rosters. I think they like to, you know, split it up a little better after WrestleMania, but I think going into Mania is just a lot easier for them to have everybody in one place, because they're still going to run two crews on the road. That still makes them the most bang for their buck. So I think it's going to stay. I'd be surprised if it didn't.
We had talked about it last week. We were one of the shows that happened to leak it because we were on the air, and folks from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, sent it to us and said, by the way, John Cena got hurt. They still really haven't come out, guys, and said, well, it's this, it's that. We've heard knee, we've heard hip, we've heard anything. Were any of us surprised that my uncle actually opened the show and said, by the way, he was really hurt? And this is what happened. I was surprised from my end. I don't know about Phil or Spug or Mace, but I was very surprised that WWE outright came out and said, by the way, yeah, he was hurt at live events.
I wasn't surprised at all, to be honest.
Sorry, watching the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, goodness.
It fit in well to what they were doing with CM Punk and Wade Barrett, because each of them tried to claim, you know, well, I took out Cena. No, actually, he was still wrestling like 2 or 3 days later, and I took out Cena. Thank you very much. Nowadays with the internet, everybody has all the information, and obviously everybody who was at that show told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. So everybody knew that there was something going on with John Cena. They may have even had it on WWE.com during the week. I didn't even notice. I didn't even check the site, to be honest with you, during the week. But, yeah, it makes sense, you know. He was hurt anyway in storyline, so you might as well, you know, indicate, oh, he tried to wrestle and he got hurt again, you know. But it would hurt them, I think, long-term in their pretty long-term plans. I'm sure that they've already got something ready for him for WrestleMania, so that would probably mess a lot of things up for the company. So hopefully he's they did seem to indicate that he was going to be on the show next week, though.
Yep, and I'm supposed to refer to Sorokin, and I was the god of internet radio. He chimed in and said that they had it up on WWE.com and had the YouTube clip of his speech on the site. So yes, he is rumored to be attending I believe it's now called the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. When I lived there, it was Gaylord Entertainment Center, and God, just pick names and stick with it, kids. Does anybody have a problem with CM Punk running the Nexus, or would we have liked to have seen Wade Barrett versus Punk a little more? We may see it in Nashville, because if fans didn't see it last night on Monday Night Raw, the GM set up a number one contender's steel cage match, which kind of feels like a Russo thing, but hey, Randy Orton defeating Wade Barrett and Sheamus, and Barrett was close to being helped out of the cage by CM Punk and was screwed, had his Nexus armband pulled off. To Spug, to Mace, then Phil, I believe someone on Twitter had said that going back to some point in 2008, every WWE pay-per-view has had either John Cena or Randy Orton either is wrestling each other or wrestling someone in a world championship match. Would you, either one of you, have liked to have seen The Miz versus Sheamus or The Miz versus Wade Barrett or is Orton getting the belt back for the run to WrestleMania?
Nope. I wouldn't have liked to have seen Sheamus, because you know what? I bet you within the next 2 weeks, a certain mustachioed boyfriend of mine shows up.
You mean he's going to leave the Golden Palace of Stamford?
Well, he's been wrestling house shows.
Ooh.
He's been wrestling house shows. And they were here in Cleveland at the end of December. And a buddy of mine went and said that Trips was there, but he didn't wrestle. So, I don't know. I want to say within like the next 2 weeks, you were going to hear the infamous chords of Motorhead, and you were going to see that mustache pop out on screen, and he's going to womp up on Sheamus, and that's going to set up for something between those two.
But it'd be awesome if they made it the William Shatner version of it.
The William Shatner version of I Am the Game? Yes. Shatner did a really good punk version of a song called Common People, just a quick aside. I don't like the fact that either one of them have been in a title match since like 08, but it would be nice to see someone new in there. I want to see fresh faces, though. I want to see someone not in the title picture. I want to see someone like a John Morrison. And crap, Arkansas just got a field goal. It cut the lead to 15. Son of a...
Hey. We'll address the Pick'em Challenge in a few minutes with you.
Campus legend can lick me down where? Down there. That's what he can do, Mr. SEC. Big Ten can't win a single bowl game on New Year's Day.
Yeah, for fans that aren't aware of it, Campus Legend and going into this game has a 5-3 record versus Spugs 3-5. Brad Allen picked Arkansas tonight. Shockingly, Spug picked Ohio State. So if you start feeling the ground shaking and quaking as a comeback happens, that's why. So don't freak out, fans, because it'll.
Hey, what happens if we end up tied?
I haven't thought about that yet. Haven't thought about that yet.
I still have a chance. I still have a chance to win. I still have a chance to win. Because if Ohio State holds on, I'm only within one, and we have the Cotton Bowl, and we have the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should have a thumb wrestling challenge with a little LJN thumb wrestler.
I guess there is no way to end up tied.
I'm going to have to fly Brad Allen in or something. The office is awesome.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jersey Girl's 4-4 in the pool. She's doing really well in there. We do now have, as mentioned, the number one contender, Mace, and yes, shock of shocks at Royal Rumble on January 30th in the TD Garden of Boston. We're going to get The Miz versus Randy Orton. Or do you see creative swerving us and this turning into Miz versus Orton versus maybe John Morrison?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking Morrison because he lost last night. I was thinking Jerry Lawler.
Really?
Why not? I mean, he sat out last night with the injury, and he'll be probably back looking for revenge on The Miz next week. And, you know, he's beaten The Miz twice in a row. He has more of a claim to that than Morrison. Morrison lost his title match. He beat The Miz by count out, and he beat him in a tag match.
Okay, Mace, run with that. Does that work for you? Would you chunk money down? This is
Jerry beats The Miz. He gets 10 minutes in the ring to beat the living crap out of Michael Cole.
Part of me while I nearly choke on my own water.
But to be honest, I think that they really screwed the pooch, so to speak, by throwing the title match on Raw between Morrison and The Miz. I was waiting for that to be your Royal Rumble title match. And the fact that we're going into yet another Randy Orton-Miz match makes me just go, okay, well, I found time to do other things.
Yeah, because we talked about it here last week. We were talking about the idea of, is there enough traction in this feud to come to the end of January? And now it's all of a sudden like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. You just slayed the biggest dragon in the kingdom, and what do you do next? I mean, and SmackDown hasn't even set one up yet. I believe this Friday night on SmackDown, they're having two feud-ending type matches, a two-out-of-three fall match with Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio, and then you're going to get, I believe, the last man standing bout between the world champion Edge and Kane. Is this creative, Mace? Just, okay, leaves, let's get out the Ouija board and go to fantasy football-like thing here. And or, as you mentioned, is this also the SmackDown writing staff also screwing the pooch, so to speak, by ending these two feuds that you could have saved and ended and gotten maybe a good draw as opposed to just a decent rating? This could have drawn at Royal Rumble.
I know that they're probably looking to pop ratings straight out the box when it comes to Raw and SmackDown. And doing matches like that definitely put the ratings up. But at the same time, you're left with a college kid who's got an assignment due in like 6 hours and he's done nothing but party for the last 6 months. You know, I'm imagining WWE Creative sitting there after the opener on Raw going, oh crap, we've got this due in 3 weeks. How are we going to script this out? Roll some dice. I don't know. Get a Ouija board. Quick, give me cans of Red Bull. I'll write a script. I think it's due tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, well, to Phil and then to Spug, both of you, unless Spug's getting his own Red Bull to go crazy because he may need to get padded walls in his room. And is this just getting a little out of control? That I said, it's almost like they made a mistake here because we'll talk about TNA's pay-per-view in a minute or two here because it's this Sunday. These guys had their pay-per-view mid-December and have put such a huge gap to the end of this month. Is this a mistake in WWE's executive offices, Phil, booking this thing so far out?
I don't think so, because the one thing I like about the title picture on Raw with the WWE Championship right now with The Miz, I'll take full credit and say I predicted that guy was going to be the champion before the end of 2009. I told everybody who listened to me, you watch, he's going to hold the belt because he's so good at so many of the things that he does. But the best part about his reign for me right now is that he's got so many people going after him. And when you have a good, hot heel champion who's being chased by multiple challengers and, you know, escaping by the skin of his teeth every single time, that's going to eventually draw because people really hate this guy. They really want to see him get beat up. And right now, I mean, people are cheering for a 61-year-old man to beat him for the championship. And people are cheering. And I don't think it was a mistake to put the Morrison Miz match leading off Raw last night, which was fantastic, by the way. That was a really, really great match. But because I think you got, not everybody buys their pay-per-views, WWE. And instead, you got the opportunity to see John Morrison in probably maybe the biggest match of his career really get to show off what he can do in front of like the widest audience that he could possibly do it in front of. If he did it on pay-per-view, yeah, some people would, you know, whisper about it a little bit and talk about it, but you wouldn't really have that like star-making performance from John Morrison, which I think he might have actually gotten last night in doing what he did. And The Miz, for that matter, they both just worked a really, really fun opener on Raw last night, and I think it really set both guys up really well for what they're going to do. And that said, with Orton in the title match, well, you know, he did lose the Money in the Bank, you know, thing to The Miz, so it makes sense that he would get a match at some point that would be kind of an important match. Plus, the Royal Rumble sells the Royal Rumble. The title matches never really sell the Royal Rumble. I mean, we had Kurt Angle and Mark Henry a couple years ago at the Royal Rumble. That didn't sell anything.
Bob Holly, Brock Lesnar comes to mind.
Yeah.
No offense to Bob Holly.
You know, you brought up the star-making ability of that match last night, and real quick, how out of it did Alex Riley look after tasting that knee from The Miz? Because that looked like he took that full on in the face.
Yeah, you gotta give him credit. I mean, he's annoying, and he was annoying me. And that, you know, I know what's going on. I was waiting for Morrison to take him out. I was like, all right, Morrison has got to like kill this guy right now because he's annoying me, and I want this match to keep going.
Well, I will say this: The Miz is growing on me as a heel. I can't stand the fact from Ohio and he represents one of my cities. Like, I can't. But, you know, he's growing on me as a heel because he's a good heel. He really is a good heel and he's getting the proper kind of heat. At first I thought he wasn't, but in my opinion he wasn't. But now he really is. He's starting to get that proper kind of heat. The look on his face and the way he sold that when Alex Riley got knocked the F out was amazing. Like, he just had this look on his face like, great, I'm next.
The quivering lip thing.
Yeah, it's the quivering lip. It was perfect.
Yeah, it almost looked like a kid I got caught with the cookie jar going, oh, crap, Mom got me. I'm going to the chair.
I think the best part about Mrs. Reign, too, other than what's going on, you know, on television and stuff like that, is he takes on the most ridiculous media schedule that a person outside of John Cena could possibly do. I mean, he is literally everywhere, and he loves every second of it. Like, I've interviewed him twice, which should tell you something, before he was even WWE champion. He's so good at it. He remembers everybody's name. He knows exactly what outlet he's on at all times. He will retweet your tweets and get you views, and he's just so good at the media game. And, you know, for somebody representing the company, it is so important for them to have somebody with that kind of visibility as their world champion. And I think he's done a fantastic job to this point.
As mentioned, we're doing WrestleMania memories from now till WrestleMania, which is going to be in Atlanta on April 3rd. We're going to do story time real quick for fans, because I'm the oldest of the group. I remember WrestleMania 1 at Madison Square Garden, and I remember WrestleMania 2 because it lived on Long Island, and remembered friends going to the event. This was the card for that event. This is WrestleMania 1's card, just so everybody can realize the Hall of Fame stature that was on this card. And it was March 31st, 1985, Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse the Body Ventura, doing the commentary. Of all the matches to open a WrestleMania, everybody probably goes, I know it. Okay, Tito Santana defeated somebody called the Executioner. It was actually a masked Playboy Buddy Rose. Our earlier guest, Brutus Beefcake, was managed at the time by Luscious Johnny V. He wrestled to a no contest with the son of Bruno Sammartino, David Sammartino. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defeated Matt Bourne. King Kong Bundy set the record that unfortunately fell at WrestleMania 24 when he defeated SD Jones in 9 seconds. Kane defeated Chavo Guerrero in 6 seconds. Andre the Giant won the Body Slam Challenge, defeating the legend of Big John Studd. After the match, of course, Andre the Giant took the bag of money and started throwing it to the fans. Bobby Heenan slid in, stole it. Hall of Famers battled that day. The Junkyard Dog defeated the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion at the time, who was Greg the Hammer Valentine. And as always, since the championship does not change hands via counter to DQ, as Howard Finkel would always say, you know, the title stayed with the Hammer. Tag team championships did change hands that day. The Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov, with, I believe he was called the Ayatollah Blassie at the time, defeated Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham. And if those names sound familiar, yes, his son slash nephew, Husky Harris, working in NXT right now. That would be Rotundo's son and Windham's nephew. Wendy Richter recently went to the WWE Hall of Fame, which was a holy crap moment for a lot of us, because of what happened soon after she won the championship from Leilani Kai at WrestleMania 1. And, of course, the main event, which had Pat Patterson as a special referee, boxing legend Muhammad Ali at ringside, Liberace was there, Billy Martin was there. This match actually took birth on a war to settle the score, which at the time was pretty amazing to see wrestling on MTV. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, and if you ever get a chance to read Roddy Piper's book, he'll, in the pit with Piper, he'll tell you all about his feelings on that match. They defeated Roddy Piper, Paul Orndorff with Cowboy Bob Orton, Superfly Jimmy Snuka was also ringside for that one. And I mean, that's amazing to think that was the company in 1985, and as we outlined with Brutus Beefcake and, another DVD releases that are out there. I know it was touched on the rise and fall of WCW, that many people don't realize that WCW, the Mid-Atlantic Crockett Group, kind of will help pay for that thing, because they bought their TV rights back from WWF, who had taken them from the Georgia Championship Wrestling folks and have the infamous Black Saturday in wrestling history. So thank the Crocketts if you ever see them around. Thank them because they're the reason they had WrestleMania. So story time is done. We will go to break. We will come back and we will talk UFC because Spug and Mace are the tap outs and knockouts guys and we'll preview their thoughts on the UFC 125. Phil will stay with us to outline and preview this Sunday's TNA Genesis. The music tonight is being brought to you by the folks at Billboard.com, which is the music rating folks. They handle all the stuff, the most plays. You hear them all the time. Everything that's being played tonight is a part of the top 12 of 2010. We'll be right back here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Thanks for staying with us. We'll be back in a moment. I can break you down. There's so many ways to love ya. Got me like, oh my God, I'm so in love. I found you finally. You make me wanna say, oh, 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 oh my God.
This is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this.
Oh my God, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett
Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Mace, the overworked co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy's cleaning boy, building janitor, advertising guru, Spug's bong holder, drink runner, Omega's transformer record keeper, and bashing the books, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mace, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultra-violence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, then check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sweeping.
everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes?
Welcome back, Online World Wrestling Radio, for this Tuesday, January 4th, which is amazing to think that a year ago today, we were sitting in front of TVs going, crap, do I watch TNA, do I watch WWE, and now it's just like, what happened, man? Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal is joining us here as well. Spug and Mace are here, and Mace, I believe, has already results from the Tokyo Dome show that took place today. I know Beer Money lost because of James Storm's tweet. Tweet, is that what it's called? Tweet?
Tweet.
Yeah, I have been able to locate a New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 5 in the Tokyo Dome results list.
Ooh.
I don't know, do you want this? Because you're probably better at butchering Japanese names than I do.
If you want to paste the right ahead, while he does that, I'm going to let folks know that if you are living in Wallingford, Connecticut this Thursday night, instead of watching the program, you can go to the Dome at Oakdale. There is a live TNA event. There's a special meet and greet at 5:30. As of this moment, it is Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson. Jay Lethal versus Kazarian versus Robbie Eve, the X Division Championship. The Knockout Champ Madison Rayne will take on Mickey James. Beer Money is going to be taking on Ink Inc. Also on the show, Matt Morgan, the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, Tommy Dreamer, the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and more. And then in Phil and Mine's old neck of the woods, on Westbury, which I think this NYCB Theater, is that the old Westbury Music Fair, Phil?
You got it. The theater in the round. That's where they do the shows.
That's amazing. That is Friday, January 7th, 7:30. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com, LiveNation.com, or you can walk up and purchase at the box office. This show will have a three-way for the world title. Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson versus Matt Morgan. Lethal versus Kazarian for the X Division title. Madison Rayne and Mickey James again. Beer Money and Ink Inc. again. Meet and greet is involved there as well. And amazing. The show that aired this past Thursday on the 30th did a 1.1 rating, averaging 1.4 million viewers. While the final edition of Reaction, everybody cried, oh, such a shame, such a shame, did 0.6 as a rating and 800,000 viewers. Before we run everything card-wise, to Phil, thoughts on the goodbye of Reaction? Could this have been handled differently to look at the tea leaves, so to speak, now that everything's gone, and to do the CSI of the body that is Reaction? What went right and what went wrong in your eyes with this program? Was it the date going right after Impact, or what could have been done right or wrong here?
Yeah, it was just overload. There's a lot of weeks where I watch, and this is one of them, where I watch TNA way after it happens. And when you get through the 2 hours of TNA, you don't want to sit there and watch another hour of TNA, especially one that has no wrestling on it. The concept of the show was unique. I think it would have worked really well as like a web show, maybe, or something like that, or something on a completely different day of the week where you could break down the angles that happened already and look ahead to the next week and kind of set up what's going to happen. Instead, it just ended up being part of a three-hour block that they just did not need. I personally, myself, I know a lot of people really, really like the, you know, kind of like the off-the-cuff, unscripted guys actually just cutting wrestling promos the way they used to be cut aspect of it. Actually, Matt Hardy mentioned that to me the other day in an interview that I did with him. And, you know, that was one aspect of the show that he enjoyed. But I don't, you know,
it's 2000 and I almost said it was 2010. It's 2011 now, and you know, I think pushing a show that's supposed to be realistic about professional wrestling, you know, people just aren't going to believe in it. It's just, people know kind of what professional wrestling is and what it's not. And if you're going to sit there having, like, you know, Robert Roode backstage, you know, shouting at the top of his lungs about Chris Sabin or something, then, you know, it's just not going to be something that's going to resonate with I think a wide audience. That said, you know, I think the production people did a very good job on it. I think Bischoff, Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey did a very good job on the show. I just don't think it was the right time for it, specifically since TNA in this time, you know, they didn't really grow at all in the last year because they're actually drawing the same, if not lower numbers than they did a year ago. And it just, you know, they didn't really strike while the iron was hot, I guess you could say.
We're looking right now on one of our sites that we go to for results. As Mace mentioned, it was called Wrestle Kingdom 5 in the Tokyo Dome. That was actually a pay-per-view show over there for them. They're saying that the card had 42,000 fans, which is pretty cool. Strong Style Spirit is the source of this stuff. Some of the notes that come on for this one, the IWGP Tag Team Champion, IWGP Grand International Wrestling Grand Prix, which is the New Japan belts. The champions, Giant Bernard, who American fans may remember as Albert of the Test and Albert Tag Team, and his partner Carl Anderson, defeated the Beer Money team of James Storm and Robert Roode, and a Japanese team of Manabu Nakashini and Strongman. Yeah, that one. When Anderson used the stun gun on Roode, that was their fourth championship defense. On a hardcore New Japan versus TNA.
Yeah, Manabu Nakanishi worked America, right?
I believe he did, yeah.
He was Kurosawa, if you remember him, in the 90s in WCW.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that name rings bells now.
Yep.
Rob Van Dam defeated Toru Yano with a 5-star frog splash. Your TNA World Champion and possibly resident of a Carolina jail soon, Jeff Hardy defeated Tetsuya Naito. They had a New Japan versus Noah Battle Combustion match. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated former Ida, Full Impact Pro Champion Go Shiozaki of Pro Wrestling Noah. And a title change did take place. The 56th champion in New Japan history for the IWGP Championship, Hiroshi Tanahashi, defeated former MLW star, and I believe he wrestled Homicide a couple times in Ring of Honor. Satoshi Kojima lost his championship, and this has been an event that TNA seems to enjoy, taking over obviously the old WCW Japan Super Show event. To Phil, because we've gotten an opinion from Spug and Mace on this topic. We know January 20th is a court date that the charismatic Enigma is not going to be able to avoid one way or another. If you, Phil Strum, hold the pen that Vince Russo holds, do you get the belt off of Hardy on this pay-per-view? Because he's playing these mind games with Rob Van Dam, and if you smoke what Rob sometimes smokes, it's not that hard. He's made it out that Rob Van Dam, to get to Jeff Hardy, is going to have to face a hand-picked opponent. If you're creative, is he the hand-picked opponent and Rob Van Dam becomes champion this Sunday, or do you do it on one of the impacts that'll be taped before this date?
I think you could do it either way. I don't think it matters to TNA or Vince Russo or Dixie Carter or whoever else that Hardy's had these impending charges, because he's had them for, well, oh my gosh, almost over a year now, I guess it's been since that first happened. When he was out of WWE, it started with him. I don't know that it matters to the TNA viewing audience whether or not, you know, Jeff Hardy ends up serving any time whatsoever for this, because they're getting the same one 0.0, 1.1 every week, and it's the same people watching it. So I don't think that if they haven't cared about it to this point, that their world champion is on drug charges. They're not going to in the future. I like what they've done with Van Damme and Hardy in terms of, I guess, kind of keeping them apart for a little while and kind of building to a grudge match between them, because that's something, you know, people might actually look forward to seeing. And I also like that they're not doing a title match on this show. I think that's okay, too. I think you can do the once in a while to have a little bit of a slower build with your show. But, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Hardy with all the stuff that's gone on. And obviously it sounds like there's a lot more to the story than it probably has even been out there at this point, because there's so little out there about it anyway. You know, for as much has been said about it, not many, very many facts have really come to the surface on the case as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see what they do. It's just, you know, it sounds like a plea, but who knows? You know, who knows what's gonna happen? You can never really predict the court of law, and that's one thing where TNA maybe is kind of taking a chance, is that you can't really predict what the court system is gonna do. And you can't predict what a jury's going to say or what a lawyer's going to say. But, you know, he's the guy right now, and until he's not anymore, he will be. That was really succinct.
In case fans are wondering where Spug may be, Spug is sitting in a corner now because his 21-point lead has dwindled to 10 points. So we're going to let him have a moment to himself and Buckeye Nation. So this will be
I have to hear... If I have to hear one more fat, out of shape, redneck Arkansas fan yell "Sooey!", I might go down there and shut every trailer park welfare station down so they can't drink anymore. Because God, I want to punch them all in their mouths.
Okay, Ravish and Rick Rude, go back to your corner.
Like rude.
Every time they get like a tackle on first and 10, they show some fat woman who's made the trip from Arkansas to New Orleans, and she's yelling, "Sooey!" And I just want to punch her in her ruby red lips.
Okay, go punch her. Go punch her. Go to your happy place and punch her.
You know what the best rude promo I ever heard with the beginning of that was when they were ECW was at the old Elks Lodge in Queens, and Rude gets on the mic and he goes, "For all you fat, out of shape, Queens," and then he just stopped and he said, "You know what, I like that. You fat, out of shape, Queens."
That is awesome. This version of Impact had its moments. For fans that are wondering where the heck did they find that guy for Amazing Red, that would be Tommy Mercer. He works out of the Midwest. He sometimes works for the Nashville-based promotions. So if you're all of a sudden fans going, where'd they find that dude? That's where it was. And of course it led to the Double J, Double MMA challenge rules being changed, that now Triple J has to fight men of his height and turn it into an exhibition and money. To Mace, can we just stick a fork in this thing and call it dead and move on? Or is this going to be going on until possibly Destination X or Lockdown? I mean, can we end this in your mind, or was it ended before it ever started?
In my mind, it was ended before it ever started, but, and I'm sure Spug will agree with this, we need to get to someone like Rua, or, Maynard, GSP, have them fly down to Florida to take on Jeff Jarrett and just punch him once right in his mouth.
Hua.
I mean,
Mauricio,
this promotion.
Mauricio Shogun Hua. There's no R in it. Hua.
I'd beg to differ.
Yeah, well,
it's pronounced as an H.
Yeah, it's silent. It's Hua.
I know. Pacino, Hua.
No, it's like the Brazilians. Just like
Brazil, Enzo, Gracie, and Helio, and Joyce.
Hoist Gracie, except it's spelled Joyce. You know.
Okay. Well, this is a promotion, guys, that I believe it was at some point in 2005 had Tito Ortiz come in to be UFC champion Tito Ortiz come in to be the referee for a match that Jarrett was a world champion in. And I remember sitting there going, okay, let me get this right. The referee's bigger than both guys wrestling in the match. Could that be something? I mean, Chuck Liddell's retired recently. Is that the shut up here? Obviously, it's got to be Samoa Joe at some point, Phil. But I mean, can we tease some MMA folks here to get Joe in there and finally end this MMA challenge? For God's sake!
I don't think anyone in MMA is going to want to go within about 25 yards of this storyline. I don't think anyone's going to have anything to do with it. I mean, the only guy that I can think of that's, you know, probably got a good working relationship with the promotion is maybe Frank Trigg, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't see it. No one in MMA stands to benefit whatsoever from being involved with this. I guess it's going to lead to Kurt Angle, you know, being the guy to shut him up, and not that Kurt Angle's an MMA star, but I don't know. I mean, Jared's entertaining and all, but if it just keeps going on and on and on, then now is Jared in a match at Genesis with somebody coming
not
out of this?
Not that we've seen yet. That's
are
the
you
thing.
Kidding
I mean,
me?
There may be something coming out of this. Let's see. Sorokin is chiming
in. It's Sunday, right?
Will be. Yeah, it's this Sunday. We've still got one more TV to come out of it. And who knows? It could be a gold medalist. Could be a bronze medalist. It could be a guy who was a wrestler at Belport High School, for all we know. Cheap plug for our alma mater there.
It could be Ryder Herman.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, who knows? It could be. Here's what we've got on paper, and there may be stuff added to this event. This is what it is right now. The World Tag Team Champion, the Motor City Machine Guns, will be taking on Beer Money. World X Division Champion, Jay Lethal, will take on Kazarian. In the number one contender match, it's Matt Morgan versus Mr. Anderson. Knockout Champion, Madison Rain, with a very lovely dress that unfortunately was ripped off. Bummer. Taking on Mickey James, your World Television Champion, Douglas Williams, possibly with Magnus, possibly with another British man who we've heard our wanted posters worked, and he possibly will be appearing on this week's TV. Thank you so much. We'll take on the phenomenal AJ Styles and Eric Bischoff through this step in that if Styles loses, he's out of Immortal. As mentioned, RVD is on the show taking on the handpicked opponent of Jeff Hardy. And we're going to get, as many people are probably cringing like they did a few years ago when we had a Hardy versus Hardy at, I believe, Vengeance 2002? It could be wrong. I think it was one.
No,
was
right, yeah, with Lita as the referee.
Series. With as the ref, we're going to get Bully Ray, as he's liking to be called, against Brother Devon. To Mace, since we're religious in watching the show, some more out of creature of habit than others, give us the match in your mind that is the I'm going to make a sandwich match and the one that you're sitting there telling your neighbors, shut up, I'm trying to watch the wrestling.
Well, before I actually make those two predictions, I've got to say this. Leader between two Hardys, all of a sudden Omega's sitting there going, I sense a leader jerk. I sense a disturbance in the force. As for the match that I'm going to say, I'm going to go and make my lunch, as I'm very prone to do during pay-per-views, that's going to be the brother versus brother match, Ray versus Devon. Got absolutely no interest in that feud, absolutely no interest in the match. And the one that I'm going to be telling people to shut up is probably going to be either the Jay Lethal, who's he got again? Kazarian match for the X Division title, or the TV title match between AJ Styles and Douglas Williams.
Who have been on TV recently, Phil, they've had a match that went to a time limit draw, and they asked for five more, and of course they got the five more, and shock of shocks, nobody got beaten the five more, and this led to the stipulation. If you're reading if you're sitting with Kevin Scott, who will possibly be here next week, who is your TNA cohort on Under the Ring's blog, don't pick Kevin's head, but in your mind, come next Thursday's Impact, where's AJ Styles? Is he got gold?
What was that?
Or is he gone? Is AJ gone from Immortal, or do we have a new World Television Champion?
He'll be out. I mean, well, he's not only out of a mortal, but don't forget he's out of fortune and a mortal, which I guess are two different entities. But there's so much more to be made out of AJ Styles, not as a heel in a gigantic group where he can't even get over because there's too many people in it. And I think he'll have a really, really good match with Doug Williams because there's literally just no way that they can't unless someone gets hurt during the match, which is obviously it's pro wrestling, so that's inherently possible. But from what I saw on the Impact show, they had a really, really good match in the one that had the overtime, the Iron Man match. And I guess they had a really, really good one on the last pay-per-view that I did not see. I did not see Final Resolution. But there's a lot to be said for Doug Williams getting a narrow victory over Styles. Styles fighting, you know, valiantly, and then, you know, despite the fact that he has a great match, a great scientific match probably too with Williams, you know, gets booted out of the group. And, you know, maybe that'll be one of the angles that they'll feature heavily in the next year. It's just kind of like the reclamation of AJ Styles as a main babyface in the company, which is probably, you know, long overdue. I didn't think they ever should have gone in the mini Nature Boy angle with him on January 4th of last year, but they did it, and, you know, for a while it worked for him when he was world champion, but eventually the wheels kind of fell off of it, and they kind of changed direction about 8 times, and maybe this is the way to get him back to where he needs to be.
And before we let the fans go, you have a very interesting article coming to the website. Go ahead and give a tease if you wished for that, and how fans can follow you on Twitter.
Okay, well, tomorrow in tomorrow's Poughkeepsie Journal, both in print and online, I have an interview with Matt Hardy. We spoke the other day on the phone, and he's going to be wrestling up here in Poughkeepsie on January the 15th as part of Northeast Wrestling's WrestleFest 15 against MVP. So I was, you know, obviously interviewing him, talking about that, but of course you can't talk to Matt Hardy about just, you know, wrestling MVP in Poughkeepsie. So we actually had a pretty good long interview. So some of that stuff will go in the, you know, the story on PoughkeepsieJournal.com tomorrow. The site turns over at about 3 a.m., so if you go early enough, you can actually check it out then. 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I should say. And then also on my blog, which is at blogs.PoughkeepsieJournal.com/under the ring, I'm basically going to put all the stuff that I got from Matt Hardy that didn't make it into the newspaper story, sort of like a DVD extra. So that'll be on the blog tomorrow. And we're hoping to have some more stuff in the next couple of weeks leading to WrestleFest and maybe even after WrestleFest because, you know, when you get a ton of guys, a ton of wrestlers in Poughkeepsie, it doesn't happen every day, so you might as well take advantage of it. I know they're going to be doing autograph signings and whatnot. So, so Matt Hardy on PoughkeepsieJournal.com tomorrow.
He is Phil Strom. Thanks for joining us. Coming up after this break, it'll be our last time out. We will get into some of the upcoming events around the United States, and we'll get a tease of possibly some stuff from Tapouts to Knockouts and my view as an outsider to MMA and the UFC 125 on my take on the main event of that show. All I Will of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back. Hopefully Spug will not be tearing his house apart as we watch Ohio State, Arkansas. Coming up after the break.
I want your drama, the touch of your heel, yeah. I want your leather, dirty kiss in the sand. I want your love. No, 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 I want your love.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives. A show that pays respect and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards right here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I came to dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands. Give me space for both my hands. You, cause it goes on and on and on.
Thanks to Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're back here. Spug paces and watches the clock tick away. If you think Spug's having a bad day, then I'd like to introduce you to Nicholas Wilson, who Combat Zone wrestling fans know as Nick Gage. He was recently arrested on charges of robbing a Collingwood, Pennsylvania bank. The incident took place on December 22nd at the PNC Bank on Haddon Avenue. Police say Wilson stole $3,000 after handing a teller a note saying he would shoot her if she didn't give him the money. When Wilson left the bank, he fled the area on foot. He is being charged with second-degree bank robbery and is in the Camden County Jail being held on a $150,000 bond. So we wish some resolve to that as well. Mentioned that we were going to pimp a couple shows here. Our big boss, Jason Dedrich, who runs Chick Fight, is working with Pro Wrestling Revolution to have a show on February 5th that was to feature one of our favorites, cheerleader Melissa, also known as Alyssa Flash, taking on former WWE star Taryn Terrell, also known as Tiffany. This came through our sister site, DivaDirt.com, also through Chick Fight itself, that Miss Terrell will no longer be a part of this event. They were very excited to be working with her in her first independent match. However, confirming and promoting her for the show, Miss Terrell made requests that should have been brought up prior to the booking being accepted and the promotion of the match taking place. While these requests were simply not feasible for an independent wrestling scene, we'd like to stress that Chick Fight and Pro Wrestling Revolution did attempt to cater to Miss Terrell's requests, despite already having an agreement with her. They were saddened that things didn't work out on either sides. We do know she is a part of, I believe it's called Diva Mania, that we may be in the future talking with the folks that are involved in Diva Mania, that involves Miss Terrell, involves Maria Kanellis, and also involves the singing talents of Julian Hall. So we may or may not be having that soon. We do know March on the 22nd, there will be the final chapter. It is WSU's next iPay-per-view event. Barring any changes, on the 18th, we will speak once again with the woman who got us nominated. She rules for not one, but three Wrestling Radio Awards. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and you can vote for Media Interview of the Year with Steve Carino. You can vote for us as Show of the Year. You can nominate me as Host of the Year. And you can also nominate and pick Mercedes Martinez for Female Interview of the Year. The card as this moment stands as a winner-take-all ladder match, and probably the best women's feud in recent memory. The champion, Mercedes Martinez, taking on the WSU All Guts champion, and that would be the How You Doing, Angel Orsini. We wanted Miss Orsini. Unfortunately, she is overseas competing and would not be making it back to the United States for our show on the 18th. So I'm not complaining. I get Mercedes Martinez back on this show, man. That event takes place at the Ace Arena, which is 725 Sip Street in Union City. You can go to WSUWrestling.com or DOIWrestling.com. Also on that show, Uncensored Rules, Nikki Rocks, one of our recent guests, taking on Jessica Havoc, the Spirit Champion Brittany Savage, and Rick Taldo of the Cosmo Club, taking on the Icon, Miss Alicia, and Sassy Stephanie. A triple threat match, tag team champion Tina San Antonio taking on Amy Lee, taking on Latasha. Another triple threat match sees the other co-holder of the belt, Marty Bell, taking on Cindy Rogers and Jana. The Boston Shore, Amber and Lexus. Very good-looking ladies there. If you go to WSUWrestling.com, you can see their photos. Taking on Jennifer Cruz and the Sugar Freak Monique. And Naya taking on Athena on that event. And we've also gotten something from our friends in Nashville. Lakeisha Oliver-Berdine forwarded this along to me. Southern All-Star Wrestling will present tribute to the Fairgrounds. It is a fundraiser for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Middle Tennessee chapter. It is going to take place on January 29th. We're in talks with these folks to have some of the superstars involved in this event at the legendary Nashville Fairgrounds Sports Arena, which, if you don't know where that is, it is 625 Smith Avenue. Doors are at 6:30. There's a VIP pre-show from 5:30 to 6:30. Bell time for the big event is at 7:30. The main event of this show is the final match, they're saying. It is with a feud that has gone on for decades, and that would be Superstar Bill Dundee and Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler, and our friend Dirty Dutch Mantel is going to be the referee for that match. Also on this show, former WWE superstar Brian Christopher and Kevin White will take on Derek King Enterprises, which is Derek King and Teen Excitement Drew Haskins. The Southern Heavyweight Champion Lone Star will be taking on a personal favorite of ours here on this show, and that would be Hammerjack. In a special attraction match, former WWE, ECW, TNA star Kid Cash will take on the headliner Chris Michaels. Dangerous Doug Gilbert will take on Wolfie D. And Eric the Dragon Andrews has laid out an open challenge, which if fans don't know it, usually they don't go too well. So I've met the Dragon on a few occasions living in Nashville, so he better be careful. Tickets are available through sawfairgrounds.vzzebrae.com. You can also email sawwrestling@hotmail.com. You can get those tickets in advance. Was privy this Saturday to transition to UFC, I believe it was 125, that had a very interesting championship main event, and this is where I bow to the tap outs to knockouts gentlemen for this. It was Gray Maynard going in against the champion whose name unfortunately slips my mind, and that's where Mace gets to come
Frankie
in here to save me. Oh,
Frankie,
thank you.
Frankie the Answer Edgar versus Gray the Bully Maynard.
Yeah, and for fans that did not watch this event, this should have been over in the first round. As I said, I'm not an MMA watcher to the effect that Spug and Mace are, or even Sirach and our tech producer, or any of the fans that listen. But this match was just five rounds of ass-kicking that ended in, well, a draw. I mean, I'll defer to the two gentlemen in a second here, but for fans that didn't see it, buy the replay, find a friend who maybe DVR'd it, and just watch the beating that Edgar took in the first round, and to think that he survived this and then went on for four more rounds, Mace, and then it went to the judges, and all of a sudden everyone in Las Vegas said the same thing we did. A draw?
Yeah, definitely something we weren't expecting. We were expecting some sort of winner to come by the judges, and when the judges go, "We don't know," then we know that we've had a really good fight, I suppose.
I went back and watched that fight again, and I watched it with the commentary on, because when we watch that pay-per-view, you know, we weren't listening to it. We were talking about it ourselves. And hearing the referee talk to Edgar at certain points during that first round, you could tell that the ref wanted to stop it, but by rule, because Edgar was still fighting back, he couldn't. He couldn't. So when Edgar, if Edgar had stopped fighting back in that first round, the Bully Maynard would have won in the first round by TKO. Edgar is extremely resilient. He did it against BJ Penn. I've seen him do it against others. The thing with that decision, though, is if you go and watch the fifth round and they work it on a 10-point system, it's either going to be, you know, one person's got to score 10 points. The only thing that I can think of is that both of them did so poorly in that round that they had to score it 5-5. Because that round couldn't go either way. I mean, that round, until the end, was an extremely poor round for both of them.
And I was absolutely stunned, because I asked, we were supposed to have had Gray Maynard on the show, and due to circumstances beyond our control, we weren't able to have him on. So it was interesting from a non-MMA fan's perspective to see two former Division I stars in the amateur wrestling get in there. And I thought, okay, maybe there'll be some feeling out here. Next thing I know, it's like, holy God. It's like, dude, we were talking about it live on the air, that it reminded me that flurry it was from the Vasquez-Lesnar bout that we watched that may have led to Lesnar possibly wanting to come to WrestleMania. And I was just like, okay, wow, this guy actually survived this round through to five rounds. It's amazing.
Well, with the news that broke during 125 of Cain Velasquez tearing his rotator cuff and being out for a good long while, Lesnar's not going anywhere. Lesnar's not going anywhere. And I have to say real quick, I have watched my Buckeyes' 21-point lead in the first half dwindle to now 5 points with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
I'm not a happy individual, because Jim Tressel is playing not to lose, and what he's going to end up doing, he's going to end up losing the game, and he's going to be 0-9 against the SEC, and I'm going to have to listen to a bunch of fat Arkansas people go, "Sooey!"
As we like to say, no more drugs for that man.
I'm not doing any drugs. I haven't drank pop in 3 days, Alan.
That's amazing.
I've had five cigarettes, six, since Sunday night.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's only had one person to yell at in that entire time, so he's got a little bit of pent up rage.
I've been playing WoW a lot. Plus, I'm working on about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, because the nicotine patches don't allow me to sleep.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, I can't sleep. Like the it's just, it's all kinds of bad.
And so that in your mind is a definite that we'll possibly see the next big thing not being the next WWE superstar. That if you're Dana White, since I said you guys are the experts on this, you have your own show, is that what you're telling Dana White if you're an advisor going like, okay, it's Lesnar versus whomever is
Lesnar,
for Vasquez?
Well, Lesnar just lost the heavyweight title to Cain Velasquez. And since you can't take the belt off of him, you can only name an interim heavyweight champion. You know, you can't just strip him of the belt. What I would do is put your number one contender in there, which could be any number of people from Shane Carwin to another Hua, or not Hua, oh my god, I can't remember his name, they're brothers though, or Lesnar, and I would,
Silva,
that's it. My advice would be put in Carwin and Lesnar in a rematch for the interim title.
Is that go in your mindset as well, Mace, or do you have a different view?
Hey, I'm happy as long as they give me the fights. I enjoyed the good old-fashioned ultraviolence, what can I say?
I hope everybody enjoyed this program tonight. We're totally still sitting there going, we just went with George Animal Steel, and I was like, wow! I'm still kind of going like...
My mind, she is still blown.
Pretty much. And as I said, we are in talks with a lot of folks. We're not gonna tease anybody. I'm not gonna give you, oh, well, I've got this guy, I've got that guy. We do have a lot of folks that are coming out for this event. Next week we will discuss the three city event that was WrestleMania 2, possibly WrestleMania 3 as well. Just because I said there's 26 WrestleManias, and I don't have 26 weeks to do between now and that event. So this is the part where, before I thank everybody for being on the show with us, is there an OTL tomorrow night, Mr. Mace?
There is, and through the OTL newswire or whatever communication device we have found our way to get from Star Trek, I have actually been handed a rundown of what we're going to do. We're actually going to try and format this thing and turn it into a somewhat decent geek show. Oh, God, what's going to happen?
Goblin-engineered telecommunication device.
No, Spud, because then it'll just blow up.
So?
Okay, we have fun blowing each other up. All good.
And that's 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ah, the God of Internet does speak. Do we have a show Thursday night, Internet God?
Yes, we do have a show this Thursday night, 10:30 or 11. We will be speaking with a couple individuals from the
adult entertainment.
Yeah, adult film industry who will be promoting the upcoming AVN Awards that are happening this weekend in Las Vegas. So join Cindy Sin for a special Anything Goes this Thursday night, 10:30 or 11, depending on work schedules and all. But we will be live Thursday here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right. Am I allowed to legally mention Friday, other than I'll be at ASW Full Throttle, Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, Florida?
Well, we have
ASWFlorida.com.
Yes, shameless. We have Running Ropes at 6 p.m. Eastern, but then the action will get more exciting. Isn't that right, Spug? See, he's already excited. He's already excited with the clapping.
Yes, you tubby Arkansas lineman, jump off sides.
Now,
what?
Shills.
Start.
Okay, Mace, shill. Shill what we're doing Friday.
Friday at probably 9 p.m., so 3 hours or however long after Running the Ropes goes off the air, Spug and myself will be returning to speak the gospel of mixed martial arts to you all, as from headlocks
From Headline.
Wrong place!
Wrong
From tapouts to knockouts. Becomes a live pre-show before the Strike Force event at 10 p.m. where we will be giving our usual live commentary straight after. So
yes, so just stick around on Wild Talk Radio. We'll probably have music going, keep everyone entertained, and we'll have a fun night Friday night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That sound good of a plug?
Wow.
Yeah.
Saturday. There's stuff Saturday as well.
There is stuff Saturday, because we play a game that on this show we'll say, win Tim Stein stuff. We started that on Saturday. We might do it again this Saturday. We even fired and hired someone on last week's episode. So check out the archive at wildtalkradio.com. And always call in, because the one show that is call friendly is CB Radio. We talk with you guys. That makes the show go. It's interactive. If you're not there, we have nothing much to say. So interact with us Saturdays midnight-ish. We show up eventually. Just chat along with us in the chat room or call in. We have a great time. Mace has been around lately, and he has a lot of fun, don't you, Mace?
I do. I keep getting requests to come back and do these things, but mainly due to the fact that we're usually covering UFC pay-per-views before CB Radio lately.
Yeah,
we just hit, yeah, here's the intro, now we're going into a show.
Yeah, that and make fun of Tim.
Yeah, but we also do that on another show known as Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday, 10 p.m. No, we're actually going to be at 11 p.m. this week due to the TNA Genesis pay-per-view, where we'll be making fun of Tim Stein anyway.
Yes.
And I believe we have a show before that, don't we, Internet God?
Yes, we do. It's called Life is Callous with Johnny Casimir, tentatively scheduled 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Let's hope Internet stay up this week.
The Wild Talk Radio Network. We are legend. Wait for it. Dairy.
There you go.
Yeah, I feel really bad that unfortunately we were supposed to have Kari Silk in, the ROH owner, and Stevie Richards was supposed to be on as well, and due to issues, didn't happen. We're looking to actually have Johnny on the show in the next few weeks, because he was a great guest, and we like helping out our friends here on this network. Thank you so much to Vinny DeGuido, who was able to get us with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Thank you so much to the legendary Jim Myers, who fans do know as George the Animal Steel. Phil Strum for joining us. Kevin Scott, his cohort on the Under the Ring blog, will be there as well. Twitter.com/Under the Ring is how you can find Phil Strum. Or you can even just type in Phil Strum and it'll pop up there. Thanks to Spug, who has his own setup, which is twitter.com/tapouts2KO. Thank you. We also have Mace, who is twitter.com/TheMaceThing. Will you be having a Bashing the Books this week?
At this point in time, it's iffy, just seeing how my schedule this weekend goes.
Lazy, stop being lazy, and it's twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
And also twitter.com, my name is Wojcik, twitter.com/OWWCOM. We're all over Facebook, we social network like crazy. Thank you so much for all of us being a part of week one of WrestleMania Memories. And we do have some folks for next week lined up. I'm not going to say who they are yet, because I don't want anybody stealing my ideas or my guests.
Dig it.
So we'll
keep your eyes to the social network. We shall announce eventually, and you can go, ooh, ah.
We will let the man who punched out Vincent Chase in the last season of Entourage, Marshall Mathers, also known as Eminem, and Rihanna take us out here. All I Will of Wrestle Radio. We'll see you next week.
You ever love somebody so much you can barely breathe when you're with them? You meet and neither one of you even know what hit them. Got